The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
So after we take the mugshots, we bring them on down here where they wait to be interviewed by the arresting officer. Trust me, kids, you do not want to be sitting on these benches. We call this place Loserville.
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
He's actually kind of funny.
Yeah, he needs one.
Is he all there? Like, mentally?
I think so. Just an odd guy. Kind of weird.
I mean, should we be worried?
No. No.
Paul Perillo.
Don't forget your Rogaine.
Rogaine. Check.
And don't forget to use it. I can totally tell when you forget your hair just looks thinner.
Using of the Rogaine. Check.
And Andy. And Andy?
You have to park so close? Yeah, what's wrong? Shouldn't be here.
Andy Hart.
Why is that? I'm not supposed to be within 200 feet of a school. What? Or Chuck E. Cheese.
Eric Scalavino.
You guys might not know this, but I consider myself a bit of a loner. I tend to think of myself as a one-man wolf pack.
For now, anyway.
And 6 months ago, I thought, wait a second, could it be? And now I know for sure. I just added to my wolf pack. Four of us wolves running around the desert together, looking for strippers.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hey, guys, you ready to let the dogs out?
What?
Do what?
Let the dogs out. You know, like, ooh, let the dogs out. Ooh, ooh.
Yes, we are ready to let the dogs out.
Who let the dogs out?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Thursday here at Gillette Stadium. The gang's all here. Andy, Eric, Paul, Fred, Kevin in the booth. We're talking draft. We're talking free agency. I think that's going to be the hot topic today. Free agency. A lot of stuff coming out of Pittsburgh, but not just there. A lot of stuff going around the league with prospective free agents, who's hot, who's not. So we'll get into all of that today, as well as taking your phone calls and emails. The Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398, and the email address is webradio@patriots.com. Guys, what do you got for me? What are you thinking about? What's on your plate?
Are you referring to the Mike Wallace thing when you were talking about Pittsburgh earlier?
Not just Mike Wallace, but Hines Ward.
Because there was a report this morning that the Steelers are going to tender Mike Wallace, but not franchise him.
Which is, I think, what we all expected most
That's
of the time.
Pretty much what Kevin Colbert said on
Thursday. We've kind of been
Thursday,
talking
I
that.
Say.
I mean, Fred, you and I argued the first-round pick and the money that would be involved with signing him to a restricted free agent contract.
Right.
Enough to lure him away from the Steelers. That's kind of the
And Andy, why idea we've had. Just in case anyone's not familiar with what the restricted free agent tender means to another team trying to get Wallace, if they in fact tender him a first round tender, what would it take for a team to get Mike Wallace?
A first round pick. And you have to sign him to a contract.
Right.
I mean, the idea is you need to sign him to a contract that the Steelers say, I can't match that. Because clearly the Steelers want him back.
Well, that's another
key thing. Wallace
wants
to be back.
Whatever another team offers him, the Steelers have a chance to match.
Right. Or they get the first round pick as compensation.
Right.
Or some teams will do second round pick compensation or original draft compensation or whatever that other one is. But, I mean, it's going to be a first round pick with him. And I almost think the pick is irrelevant. It's going to be the money. You're going to make it so that the Steelers can't match it. You know, they've made all these moves over the last, you know, week or 10 days, and I think it's like $32 million they've cut total off their salary cap. But they're still not in position where if you really loaded it up and the guy's cap number for this year is going to be $20 million, I'm not sure the Steelers can do enough to get to that point. So, you know, the loss of the old poison pills, which are, if he plays more than two of his games in the state of Pennsylvania, those are gone. But the real poison pill now is just the money. Make it so they can't physically match it without, you know, decimating their roster.
And the question, I think, for New England is, can they afford to try to make an offer to a guy like Mike Wallace at the expense of not being able to sign other free agents at other areas of need?
Right. Who would that be?
I mean,
maybe a Mr. Wes Welker?
No, but you could do Welker and Wallace, but you'd essentially be done.
Well,
you can't do anything else.
And
probably.
I think Eric's point too is the restricted free agent process is cumbersome. You sign the offer sheet. The other team has a week, so that's basically a week that you're kind of out of the game for any big money guys. I mean, you can continue to sign some lower level guys, but you know, whether or not I'm going to have to be paying out $25 million this year to Mike Wallace, that's going to affect what I do elsewhere. I think right. that's Eric's point, and I agree with it. And to Andy's point about the free agent thing with the franchise and the restricted free agent, the difference is one first-round pick
right.
for other teams because it's the same thing. You have to sign into a contract, and you would have to surrender two first-rounders if it was a franchise. So it makes a lot of sense to me for Pittsburgh to save because for them – it's substantial. It's 9.4 to 2.7 right. million. And that's a big difference.
And you have to have it. That's the other issue, is while they may want to sign him to a long-term deal, do whatever, if they slap him with the tag before Monday,
you have
they
to
have
to
have
the,
have the 9.4 million on their books. And I doubt they have that right now because they've been working to get down to the, well, first of all, the other issue is I don't really understand. No one knows what the cap is yet. It's still, you know, I saw a post. It could be lower than what you expect it to be.
And I don't get that, how that's still so up in the air, this tight up against the start of the league.
Yeah. Because technically, you have to be under the – I know people say the league year doesn't start until March 13th, but –
but you shouldn't have an
if
idea.
If you slap the franchise tag on them, you need to know what the cap is that you're adding to.
You may not have gotten to it in your CBA reading yet, but I think there is –
no, probably not.
This is about 400 pages. Right. Andy's been reading the CBA.
Seriously, I think there is a number that they go by, like a preliminary number that they go by based on something until they get the actual audits done of all the teams.
Okay.
So
I just think you're asking a team to make a major decision.
Yeah, without knowing all
the
details.
You know that they're going to be close.
A million here, a million there. Right. But I just think it's funny that you have to make a major decision before you really have all the information a week later.
And there's got to be a certain amount under the cap that every team feels like they need to safely be on the start of the new league year.
Right.
Right? Mm. I mean, if the cap is 120, every team must feel like, you know, if I'm at 112 on that day, I'll be okay. Or whatever it is.
Right.
Maybe it's 100. I don't know. It might be a huge gap that they have to the buffer. Whatever it is, I'll bet every team feels – X amount of million below the cap is what I need to be. So by that regard, I would imagine.
But you don't know how they treat it because whether they choose to redo a contract. I mean, you can easily, a guy that's got an $8 million salary, okay, we just guaranteed it. You're now making, you know, $8.95, and we prorated the other $7 million over the course of the deal. We just opened up a ton of room. But you need to know some of the specifics. I feel like Bill Belichick here. How do you expect me to know if I want to franchise a guy if I don't know what the cap is? It was geniuses at the league.
Yeah. Right. You broke some news yesterday with the Patriots and an acquisition that they actually made a while ago.
That would be Paul.
Oh, Paul broke the news.
The dead giveaway was Paul's calls.
I usually understand when he says, Eric, you were saying last week when it was something Andy said, but it was something I wrote.
Right.
But anyway.
The first word was Paul.
It was very, very, it was very old, evidently. The Patriots, when they signed all of those players that were from the practice squad to futures contracts, evidently Mike Hartline, quarterback from the Colts, spent some time with the Colts practice squad last year, was among that group of players that was signed.
It was out there on the internet.
It goes back to January 12th.
Apparently it was out there on our own website.
So
on our own website?
Yeah. I did a search on them yesterday, and all of the player pages for the various, you know, national, you know, Yahoo, ESPN, they all had him as a Patriot.
Oh.
So, as always,
the Wikipedia page was already plastered with it, right?
We're the last to know.
So. But I liked him coming out of college. I thought he was a developmental guy.
Big
now,
kid.
I'm not jumping to the conclusions everybody else is. I get tweets like, oh, they're going to cut Hoyer to save money. They're going to move Mallett up to 2 and Hartline's the 3. And, well, first of all, what money are you saving with Hoyer? Second of all, if you want to get rid of Hoyer, try to get a pick for him. Don't just cut him.
Right.
And third of all, he's probably just here for when Brady doesn't show up to offseason passing camps. They have 3 guys to throw.
Yeah. I would say that the overwhelming odds are that he doesn't make it to training camp. He may make it, as Andy said, to some passing camps to lighten the load on Brady.
Which don't start for forever. They could draft a quarterback before those.
Yeah. Right? April 6th.
End of
about
April.
A month after they normally
Third
start.
Monday in April,
April 16th, I believe, is the day that everybody was throwing around at the combine.
But that's not passing camps. That's just
the off-season program.
Or August 16th, as one of the general managers said.
We knew what he meant.
He misspoke.
That's just phase one, and phase one doesn't include any off-field work. It's 2 weeks.
Andy's right, and believe me, I'm going to tell you right now.
This is from the CBA.
Phase two and phase three.
I'm never going to disagree with anything Andy has to say about any kind of legalities. based on what he's been doing for the last 24 hours.
We should say, the reason I started today reading some of it was a Bert Breer tweet that said the Colts can't watch slash something Peyton Manning on the field, and I wanted to see if, and he actually cited page 131 CBA, so I went to it, and it doesn't say that. Nowhere does it say you can't watch. It says you can't direct and supervise or something. Doesn't say you can't watch. Mm. I read it as,
right,
I can watch, I just can't tell him what to throw, mm-hmm, when to throw it, how,
right,
to throw
so
it.
So if Peyton Manning had it filmed and sent you the film, right, you could watch the,
right,
film.
Yeah. And yeah, it sounds like those like the high school coaches,
yeah,
where they have captain's the practices, captain's practices,
right,
where
high school coaches
to,
up on
that's
the
what
hill.
It sounds like to me. Yeah. Like, yeah, you can't be there to tell them what to do, but, right, if you happen to be in the neighborhood and you, right, see
if,
it.
If your car's over there with the headlights on to give, yeah, them light, right, you can sit in your car.
Exactly.
And right, by the way, this isn't just us that, you know, because we had that email that was calling us out for this on Tuesday, but even Mike Florio on Pro Football Talk said exactly what Andy just said. It doesn't say watch on page 131 of the CBA, number, right, one. Number two, we all know that this rule, the CBA, is meant to eliminate the practices. They don't want as much off-season practice. They, right, don't want the players to have to be here more time in the off-season than they want to be. That was the concession made in the CBA. Injured players are allowed to rehab at the facilities, unlike last year during the lockout,
right,
when they weren't
they
allowed to.
Not,
they,
right,
are allowed to under the new CBA. Peyton Manning is an injured player, and whether it's Pagano watching him or,
right,
somebody in the training staff of the Colts is really largely irrelevant.
You know,
he's
Gerard
to
Mayo
be
is watching film as we speak. He's doing it on his own volition. No one told him he had to, but he's here watching film, you know?
But not with Matt Patricia.
Right. He's just doing it on his own.
But my point, yeah, is they can certainly watch him throw to get an idea of how healthy he is.
Right.
And if it's not Chuck Pagano doing the watching, if he's technically not allowed to, which I think there's plenty of gray area on that, somebody in Indianapolis is allowed to do so because he's an injured guy rehabbing at the facility. And that's the,
it'd be impossible for him to go through the whole facility and have nobody see that he's around,
yeah,
there,
right,
throwing.
It's like
working,
hiding
behind stuff.
Right. Right. Yeah. Right. You can't see me.
Yeah, right.
We do have some breaking news from Chad Ochocinco. He lost his keys. No, the real he did lose his keys. He just tweeted. Claims Evelyn hid them, so he has to ask her where they are.
Crap sheet probably has them.
Wow. But there was the report from Liz Mullen, Sports Business Journal, that Patriots had asked him to restructure his contract. And then something I kind of did actually break on the blog yesterday. He tweeted, restructuring's going well. Now it's just
how to make up the
he made, yeah, it sound like he's already done it.
Right.
Now, I don't know whether he has or hasn't, and he actually referenced today goals for the offseason, get in great shape, and make up $3 million, and $3 million was his,
yeah, it was his
salary.
Number.
So
yeah,
he either has been asked to or already has restructured from the $3 million salary he was due, which, by the way, doesn't mean anything. He could restructure and then be cut.
Yeah.
Right.
So could just earn him a few more months here, not necessarily for another year here.
And it could be, you know, the Patriots just getting ready for, you know, whatever they need to do and,
right,
looking for.
We don't want you on the,
right,
books for $3 million.
Right.
You may only be on the books until August 28th,
yeah,
when we cut you from the books totally.
And it makes no sense to cut him now.
Unless, by the way, they guaranteed him money.
Which I don't think they would have done again.
And no, because it wouldn't be more money. Because you can only restructure a contract to make more money once in a calendar year. He already did that last August, September, so I think he could only take a cut.
Speaking of social media, Randy Moss was at a Buffalo Wild Wings and decided to do Moss TV while he was at the restaurant.
How did he do it?
He probably just had his laptop with him, and he's got the camera, and he's just streaming with Wi-Fi.
I saw Florio tweet like, hey, that's like 5 minutes,
right,
from my house.
And he's got he's bringing in kids. It's like, come on in, and the kids are sitting with him, and, you know, it's just nonsense.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
These receivers are all the same. The careers of Ochocinco, T.O., and Ma, they're now just sideshows.
Mm. Yeah.
They're still relevant in the Twittersphere. Owens is catching however many, he had 3 or 4 touchdowns in the
Arena Bowl?
Not even Arena. That's disrespectful to it. This is lower than Arena.
Oh.
This is indoor. This is, I think, the Kurt Warner League.
And he only,
right,
plays home games.
They play
games
at Chuck E. Cheese.
Right. And they're all these circus freaks now. They're not,
right,
still, their names are out there, but they're not legitimate NFL players anymore.
Right.
What do you think before we move on to another topic, just Ocho in general? right now.
I'll take him back if he restructures his deal.
Not me.
I'd like to try to explore more options, and then if you don't get an upgrade, then you bring him back.
But there's nothing bad, in my opinion, of bringing him back.
I don't even want him back, even if they don't add anybody else. I just want to move on.
I'm
want to start
like
over.
I'm kind of like with Paul. Not,
why?
I don't want to.
Look.
He did nothing.
Well, that's the thing.
He didn't do anything.
It's not bad.
It's not personal.
It's not like
he didn't do anything.
You know.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with
that. All that other stuff. It's.
He's not productive.
Yeah.
So?
And do we really want to keep a roster spot for him?
One of 80? Sure. One of 53? I don't know.
No, you're talking about long term. 50. I'm talking
about
the
53.
Oh,
I don't
know.
I'm talking about 80.
I'm talking 80. I don't even want him in camp. I don't want the sideshow. I don't want any of that. Yeah. I don't think he's going to be productive. And it's not to answer your question, Andy, nothing. He's done nothing wrong other than not produce.
Right.
But personally, it's not. You know, I don't think he was a problem. I don't think he will be a problem.
Right.
I'm not afraid of that. I think he showed last year that he can keep his mouth shut if he has to. So I'm not really afraid of that. I don't think it's going to be a Randy situation where the longer this goes, it's a ticking time bomb. I just want to start over. I want, you know, maybe it's because I was, you know, doing the wide receiver stuff at the combine and you see all of these athletes. I just think it's time. Find somebody.
I'm bringing
and move
in
on.
A veteran. I'm signing somebody and I'm drafting
but
somebody.
But I know he can't do it. So I want to move on from him.
I
want to have another guy come in and show me he can't
do
it.
I don't know why he can't be Taquan Underwood or these Navy guys that they have two or three receivers from every year. And if he's producing the way they have,
I'd take that.
Yeah, but why not?
Well, he does.
But
well,
I'm not saying that, but it doesn't affect anything.
By having those other guys in camp, it could affect things.
But
I'm not saying it's
a
huge distraction. I'm not saying that, but it's a sideshow. It's an unnecessary thing to go through for a guy who's going to catch 20 passes.
But you don't know that.
But I'm pretty sure that I do.
Maybe he just gets it.
Gets what?
You're not willing to roll the dice. Well, first of all, when Brady goes X left, Q Z, he knows which direction to run.
Yeah, and you think that's, you know, after
right
19 games, he's going to get it next year?
He might.
Why?
Because
that's
of the offseason?
Why?
Yeah. I'm just not close.
You sound like me now.
You can only learn it in the offseason?
I don't think there's any downside.
This is what you make fun of me for.
But I don't see any downside.
The eternal optimism.
And that's me. I'm an optimist.
Oh, I think the downside, Andy, is by having him around, you're probably not exploring your options to replace him.
Oh, well, I don't know that. If that's true, then no, I don't want him. But if he's
his salary
is now $700,000 and he's showed yet again the commitment to being here, then I don't understand why I can't go out and sign Reggie Wayne and why I can't go out and draft Stephen Hill.
No, I guess you can.
And then we go to camp, and if he wows me, then I've made a tough decision. And as Robert would say, that's a high-class problem if I have to decide between all these guys that I think are going to be really good. Right?
No, it's the downside.
But do you really think there's
a
chance of that
point.
Happening?
It's, a little yeah. chance, yes.
Really?
Yes.
See, I don't think there
12%.
Is.
Well,
you know, is that a percentage in the CBA?
You mentioned these guys that
will be 17-17.
You know, you mentioned these
it'll
guys
go up
that
by 3%
would ultimately
by next year.
Be, you know, 75-80 on your roster. You know, what is the chance that, you know, you might find a diamond in the rough from that group of five guys that one of them wouldn't be here because Ocho was here?
But how do you know he can't be the diamond?
Well, that's your point, and it's
but
not
I,
a bad
who's
point.
Who's got a better chance of being a diamond, him or the guy from Navy?
It's not a bad point. I mean, that's why
who,
you
Who, by
do.
The way, might have to go on active duty next week.
Wait a minute. That's not fair. The guy from Navy is the guy that you're comparing it to?
Well, any one of those.
Who would have a roster spot.
If that's a legitimate comparison, that's answered.
The guy from Newton.
Because
right.
if you really think this is between the guy from Navy and Chad Ochocinco, I won.
Navy we're yelling at.
I won.
Because you won what? For 2011,
Tyree Barnes was his name.
The fact that Shaun White and Tyree Barnes are the guys we're talking about tells me that the guy can't play anymore.
But why? He couldn't play last year.
But why?
Based on that, why do you magically understand
right from left only in April?
I don't know. But why do you not have the chance to learn it?
Listen, it's not something that's going
to
upset me if they bring him back.
You seem to have venom.
If there's no venom. Don't mistake passion for venom. That's a mistake that Fred often makes. I don't know why you're getting so
mad. What do you think of this, Paul? I get passionate about
sports.
What do you think about this tweet that Andy retweeted from Ocho earlier? Somebody asked him.
That's just this is all this is about. You know, Andy's this little boy.
I might be.
No,
Somebody asked him, do you train hard all year round? That's got to be tough staying self-motivated all off-season. And Ocho replied, last season equals motivation.
See, he's motivated.
He wasn't what that last tells year. You.
I don't know.
Oh, but he hadn't had a really bad season before last year. And he did this year, so now he's motivated to maybe prove people wrong.
It really is a mystery because if last year he can't play, he was waterproofed. He was only out there for like 10 snaps to play. He proves he didn't know the offense is what he proved. That's what he proved.
Because when he actually got on the field, he was wide open 90% of the time.
I know, but let's
really wide open.
Really?
Yes.
He was wide open.
He only had like 15 snaps, and all his catches, he was wide the F open, and some of his drops, he was wide the F open, right? For the limited snaps he had, he was wide the F open a lot.
Maybe because no one expected him to be where he was.
And that may be true.
But you can't depend on that.
As we joked, first defensive decision ever, they let the big play guy go and cover.
I had it all wrong. He's actually Jarvis Green. Per play, he's highly productive.
Exactly.
No, but put yourself. Okay, so let's put ourselves in Ocho's head for a second. He says that last year is motivating him. Looking forward to this year.
It's another check mark against him.
What is it possibly that he could be thinking that this is what I have to improve this year in order to be better? And if it's the mental,
when the huddle breaks, run in the right direction,
know the plays.
But how can he? But how, you know? How can you not, after all those months?
I don't know.
Not know it.
The light didn't go on yet.
Maybe he put
the year two jump. Right. Paul's a big believer in the year two jump.
But not in the 12th year of a guy's career.
In New England, though, year two jump.
Imagine being the new guy in the offense.
Exactly.
That's what he
I think I was the guy in week 14 that had him as my JetBlue high flyer of the week.
I'm the one that
held out hope the longest.
But I gave up hope on last year. That doesn't mean I'm giving up hope for next year.
Because last year, let's not forget, last year there was no offseason.
Right.
There was no time for him to learn the playbook. He comes here right around the start of training camp, has to, you know, he's all excited because all offseason he wanted to come here. He comes here, he gets the playbook, and then he realizes, this is as big as the CBA that Andy's been reading.
Right.
And he's trying to figure it out, and he knows he's under pressure because everyone knows that he's a great athlete, and he's trying to get it. Maybe he put so much pressure on himself that early on when he didn't produce, Brady got a little disgusted and decided, I'm not throwing to this guy. And then as we saw, even in the Super Bowl, he didn't know where to line up. He was so out of place. Now he has an entire offseason. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he has some time now to learn what he has to do.
Do you think that the answer for Ocho Cinco could be something as simple, and I don't want to demean people who undergo this, but something as simple as seeing a therapist or a sports psychiatrist?
Possible.
I think that happens all the time.
There are plenty of athletes who've had to do that.
Could be it?
I mean, Donald Hayes had a learning disability. That was his issue. Maybe Ocho found out he has a learning disability.
Yeah,
I don't know, and I'm just throwing that out there.
I mean, I'm thinking, wow. If that's it, let's go.
Yeah.
Well, don't we already have the answer of what's going to happen? If the Patriots asked him to restructure, they're planning on bringing him back at least to camp, because otherwise, you just cut him.
Right.
You don't have to ask a guy to restructure to then.
And
cut
if
him.
He has a great camp, then you have a tougher time saying, "Well, we got to cut this guy."
But if he has a great camp, you want him to play.
Right. That's what I mean.
Oh my God, he goes the right direction every time I call a play.
He's
he
catching
runs the
everything
right route every time I
right
he catches
now,
the ball.
Now. There are such things as likely to be earned and unlikely to be earned incentives in a contract.
Pretty much everything for him is unlikely to be earned.
Right.
So because he did nothing.
My point is, if the incentives that are in his contract, and I'm sure there probably are unlikely to be earned, they don't count against this year's cap.
Right.
If they're likely to be earned, you have to factor them into the cap.
Right.
So.
But his are all unlikely to be
earned. Right.
That's the benefit of having a crappy year.
Right.
And they don't do a ton of.
No.
Individual stat
Most
based.
Most of it will be playing time.
It'll be playing time.
Not
it'll
individual.
Be, it'll be percentage of playing
Which,
time.
Which, based on this year, is unlikely to be earned.
And Andy says he only played 15 snaps last year because he had 15 catches. So.
No. Whatever. 15 is 90% of X. Is what I went.
So.
Plus, some of the drops I included in there because he was wide open on some of the drops.
Little Ocho Cinco talk. What else have we got?
That's what I'm trying to avoid. We had enough Ocho Cinco talk for a whole season.
But let's go back. Let's bring this full circle. Plenty of fans have emailed they want Moss back. Who do you think has a better chance of being productive now, Moss or Ocho?
Moss? Yeah.
How?
Because he was productive in this offense before.
Oh, my God.
He knows the offense.
The guy stunk.
I agree. I don't want any.
Yeah, but I think part of that was mental attitude.
I don't want any part of it.
Let me state this.
That guy, in my opinion, proved he can't play anymore because I watched him run down the field and I watched the corner run stride for stride with
him. See, I agree with you wholeheartedly.
No, what it proved to me is everything people said about him mentally was true. That when he decides to check out, he checks out.
I disagree though because.
I'm with Andy on the physical, but I don't understand why you don't have that same feeling on Ocho.
Because Ocho didn't prove it to me. I never saw him flat out not be able to do the thing he's supposed to do. And I saw Moss run straight down the field, and I saw the DB run with him. And if he loses that, he's done.
Well, that's true, but
done.
Do we know he was giving maximum effort?
So you think he was running at like 90%?
Moss, I'm talking about.
Moss?
Yeah.
Because I think when he dogs it, he just dogs it.
I don't want Moss. I want to state emphatically, just because I think Moss would have a better chance of succeeding than Ocho doesn't mean I want Moss back.
Right.
I don't want Moss back.
I think Moss has
I think
like
Moss physically is done.
6%
I agree 100% with Andy, what you just said. The thing that he needs to do, he can't do anymore. The cornerback absolutely was running stride for stride. I think physically you're putting Ocho in a different cast, different level than I am. I didn't see him as wide open as often as you did last year. I thought even from practice in training camp, I was not impressed.
And remember, some of those ones where the fans went back and said, oh, he was wide open on that play. There was no chance for Brady to get him the ball because of the situation going on behind the line of scrimmage.
No, but I literally am starting with the receptions. And he was wide open on virtually every one.
Right, which also tells you the only time Brady felt confident throwing to him is when he was wide open.
And then you throw in the drops. I mean, literally, he was wide open at least 20 times, right? With the 15 catches and 5 drops.
Okay. You think he had 5 drops?
Probably-ish.
Name me another one other than the one against Buffalo.
The interception one.
Oh, there was one.
Certainly wasn't wide open on that play.
No, there was one where he was streaking toward the goal line here in the south end zone.
Brady overthrew him.
Yeah.
It wasn't a drop.
All right, yeah, that's true.
No, but it's a play where he's open, and the quarterback didn't get him the ball. The fault on the play didn't lie with Ocho being done. And I just think he still has something left physically.
But, I mean, just because I think Moss is done, and I do think he's done, doesn't mean that he was never open in 2010.
No, but, see, I you're right. I do. I think Moss is flat out done. I don't think he can compete at an NFL level. I think Ocho physically can still compete at an NFL level. I'm not saying he's an all-pro receiver. I'm just saying.
I do agree with that.
If Randy Moss was on the Patriots last year, more or less than 15 catches.
They would have thrown it to him more.
But that's all I'm saying.
Because he would have known the plays and he would have played more.
But that's why Fred and I would think that Moss would give you a better option in 2012.
Bitching that Brady's forcing it to him and throwing picks.
No.
Because he knows the offense.
I don't know if he would have gotten too many more catches than Ocho.
That's crazy. He would have had way more than 15 catches.
Because he would have had way more opportunities.
Because he would be where he's supposed to be.
So you're confusing knowledge and physical ability.
Physically, I think they're both at the same level. They're done.
Ocho had no knowledge, so he had never had the chance to prove he can or can't play.
I put Ocho in the same category as Moss physically. I think they're done.
I don't, because I don't think he's lost one thing that ends it, whereas Moss has lost the one thing that ends it.
I think Ocho might have a little bit more athletically at this point.
No, I see.
And
he
didn't have to do one thing. When he was at his best, he didn't just run as fast as he could down the field, out jump a guy and catch the ball. That's what Moss does at his best. Well, aside from very early in his career.
No, I am not suggesting that you could get flashes of that from Moss again. I think that those days are done. 70, 80, 90 catches. Right. No way. But there's no way anybody's going to convince me that he would have only had 15 catches last year.
Well, he wouldn't because he would have played more and Brady would have thrown it to
him. And
he's
better.
Yeah, I disagree.
He's better than Ocho Cinco. He was better at his prime than Ocho Cinco, and he's better now.
Yeah, I don't agree with
that. And he's a better fit for this offense because he knows what he's doing.
I think he's an old. Well, yes, but again, you're confusing physical with mental. There is no debate.
There's no doubt in my mind if you put them both on the field right now, Randy Moss would blow him away running down the sideline. Blow him away. No doubt in my mind.
Well, what?
I don't think so.
I think so. I don't know, blow him away, but I think he's better. I think he'd be better.
No chance. He can't do what he has to do.
Well.
Flat out. Can't do what
he has to do. But neither can Chad.
You don't know that.
I do. I watched him for a whole season.
See, I didn't. I saw a bit part role
and the times he was open a lot. And the times where he did get the ball, like I said, it was an event.
Right.
Or in that Jets game, he got tracked down from behind.
How about when he walked out of bounds?
Right.
Well, I'm not even counting that because that's kind of like, oh, I got the ball. I don't know what to do.
But this back to therapist.
But when he had the ball in an open field, he got tracked down from behind.
But he was never the fastest guy on the field.
Right. So now
Moss was, so and that's the only
so
way.
Now,
he
so
succeeded.
Now Moss's speed is about what Chad's is now.
I don't know that to be true.
Well,
you don't watch any Otis TV?
Right. No, I don't. And I don't buy that my friend just did me at 429 or whatever in the
I don't.
What is wrong with you?
These off-season chats just lend themselves to comfort.
But this is like the lowest key off-season argument we've ever had. We're just sort of like batting stuff around.
See, that's the problem,
though.
Too comfortable.
You go off the rails.
All right, we're just shooting the poo about football.
Olivier
I'm glad you edited yourself there.
Olivier's been hanging on since the beginning of the show. Let's go to him. He's in Virginia. Hey, Olivier.
Hey, guys, what a fascinating conversation.
Is it really?
About
or are you just guys humoring us?
No one can go six deep on the Patriots wide receiver depth chart like we can.
I have nothing else to say.
Oh, then why'd you call?
Well, why'd you hang out for half an hour?
To hear your voice is therapy for me.
Oh, well, good.
Well, maybe we should tell Chad. Maybe we can do therapy for him.
Exactly.
Did you know there's an Olivier in the draft? Now, maybe these guys can refresh
me. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, the kid from Miami.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's,
I wonder if his mom has waffles.
Yeah, hopefully. Still haven't seen those.
I know. Every time I hear the show, I think I have to do some waffles. Yeah.
Better than your mom having flapjacks.
Well, my mom went back to Italy, so I have to make them myself now, and I'm afraid that I will not be able to.
She lives in Italy?
With the same level.
I thought she lived in Belgium.
Just have her shoot us the recipe.
What, Eric?
I thought she lived in Belgium.
No, she lives in Italy, in the south of Italy, in Puglia.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You guys want to discuss Italy for a minute?
Eric, I'm going to tell you pronounced it wrong.
Right.
No, that's... No, Olivier knows how to speak.
Oh, because he has an accent.
Olivier's multicultured.
Yes.
And you are not.
I'm a kind of linguist. I'm sorry.
Oh! That's too bad. Andy's a master debater.
Okay. I'm glad we share some...
If either of us is an expert in that area at this point, I'm pretty sure it's you, Eric. 6 years is a long time.
Thank you. Hey, I have a question. I mean, I've been looking at...
Unconfirmed reports.
different options. Who do you think we need to... what players do you think we need to deplete from other team in order to reduce their chances of being successful against us? I mean, should we go get players from either the Dolphins or the Jets or even the Bills
that's not the way to look at it. I don't think the Patriots do either. I know that Rex Ryan alluded to in this offseason that, you know, maybe they did put an emphasis on cornerback because they're in the same division as the Patriots.
Right. Well, that's smart.
Right. But that's different from, I need to pluck this guy from this team to make them weaker. Unless it's a perfect fit for your team.
That's bad business.
Yeah, you don't look at it that way.
Right. You want a guy that can succeed in your system. And first of all, you're the front runner. I don't think you really think about the other three all that much.
Right.
I just don't. But the biggest, Stevie Johnson. You don't get him because he makes the Bills worse. You get him because you think he's a legit number one receiver down the field.
Exactly.
All right, Olivier. Well, thanks for calling.
That's it? Okay, well.
I don't know. You were dead silent there. I thought I put you to sleep.
I'm listening
You sound like Pete Shepard.
I'm listening to your monologue, and I don't want to interrupt.
I think he needs – Andy needs to get back in the CBA and look at that substance abuse testing
more.
Procedures.
Right.
Do you guys think we're going to go for Jackson or not?
Vincent Jackson?
Deshaun?
From San Diego, yeah.
No, I don't.
You don't think so?
Who's Jackson?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'll go for Jackson around 4. I got to go pick him up at daycare.
They might. They might, but you can't rule anything out.
What about Ward from Pittsburgh? Do you think he's
going to No interest.
No interest.
Slow.
He quite possibly could be more done than
injured.
Ocho Cinco.
Yeah. He's definitely more done than Ocho Cinco.
Possibly.
That's very disrespectful.
Possibly.
The only thing he does well now is that little thing over the goal line.
We know that's Dan, yes. And what about Williams? Are we going to go get him, do you think, for a defensive player? Or
you,
we don't know.
Oh,
Mario Williams.
You need to use some first names. You're the anti-Burt Breer. Mario Williams should be the number one target. I'd love to see him.
Yeah,
I wouldn't get your hopes.
Thanks, Olivier.
Thanks, Olivier.
Better, Andy.
Thank you. Another thing I posted on the blog this morning: PFW, the other one, Pro Football Weekly, had their top 100 free agents. I think Welker was 13, but I thought it was interesting that Copen not on there at all. Like Mark Anderson on there, Andre Carter on there, Brian Hoyer on there, but. Dan Copen.
Brian Hoyer's on there and Dan Copen's not?
Brian Hoyer's number 96. He's the last Patriot and no Dan Copen.
That shows you. I agree with you. That's telling.
Well, there's a number of centers that are available.
Yeah, but I read.
There is. That's a good point.
PR, unnamed scouts saying that after Chris Myers, is that his name? He's like the
got
best.
Houston.
Well, and then Copen is the number two. And yet they say he's not even worthy of the top 100.
There's literally something like 14 starting centers from last year that are free agents.
Yeah, but two of them are Patriots.
You got Matt Burke, Nick Hardwick, Todd McClure from the Falcons, Chris Myers, that guy you mentioned, Samson Satel from the Raiders, Jeff Saturday,
Saturday.
Yeah, Scott Wells and Casey Wigman. So
that's a lot. I mean, that's a lot of starting centers.
I don't think Copen is great, but I think he's a starting center in the NFL. I think he's a decent player.
Oh yeah,
and he has done more in his career and is not that old to compare him to Brian Hoyer, who's done nothing.
Nothing. That to me is
just because he's a quarterback. I guess
that's telling of what maybe the league. And I don't know. It might just be one guy who, you know, quite frankly, let's look at the undertaking of such a list. Guy could have just fallen through the cracks.
Right.
Oh, you
especially
know,
a center.
Forgot about Dan Copen.
You're not going to forget a quarterback, a running back, a wide receiver,
I can't
but a center
you know,
could.
At least if it's a guy like Matt Flynn, who I also think is highly overrated right now. But at least he's played some NFL games, and you have some idea. You know, he's played a handful of games that he played for Rodgers.
Right.
Hoyer has yet to take a meaningful snap in an NFL game.
Right.
It's a blind assumption.
It's a blind date.
And if you're looking at 31 other teams, which is what you have to do as a free agent, potential free agent signer, what are you going on? You have no idea what he's done in practice. Right. You know, what are you listening to, you know, Bobos in Boston saying how great he's produced and developed? Of course they're going to say
that.
Not
this show.
No,
because we always say, I don't know. I haven't seen him really.
I actually, I just
need
haven't
a sundial
seen
him. To time his outs.
I have never said anything really negative about him.
I have his arm's weak,
because I've never seen him play. All I can go right. on is practice and preseason,
now,
and that's not a good enough evaluation.
Now I'm
tool.
Sure if a team called the Patriots and said, "Look, you know, we're interested in Brian Hoyer," that the Patriots would be more than happy to put together a reel of all his practice film. So they could have something to go on him, you know, because why not? Maybe they'll have something to offer.
Oh, yeah, there was a legitimate, if you could get something for him, hell yeah.
I would think something like that happens in the NFL.
Sure.
Yeah. But my point is, the people that put a guy like that on a top 100 free agent list, what exactly are they using? You know, right. what are they using? He's
probably sitting around the office saying, hey, let's put a list together.
I mean, what has he thrown?
They don't consider offensive linemen as valuable.
15 passes in games, maybe?
Something like that.
You know, counting the Houston game at the end of that that year.
I have to give PFW credit. They in their little write-up,
the
they
PFW.
Did say, yeah, the other PFW, the fake PFW. They did write, basically, you know, he's had only preseason and mop-up duty, and a number of personnel evaluators aren't sold on his potential or something.
Yeah, to me, he's a guy that you need to – I think he's a guy that could look better in your system, whatever your system
James
happens
Sanders?
To be. Because I do think that from a from an aptitude standpoint, I think he looks pretty sharp to me. You know, the way he talks, the way he handles himself. But that's
at some point you got to snap the ball and throw it.
Exactly, and that's a huge leap
right.
to say. Well, he looks good in the Patriot system. I think he'll look good in mine. I just don't know.
It's the anti Jeff George or whatever. He can throw the ball through a wall and do whatever you need to do, but he's an idiot. I mean, you have to combine the two to be able
chances
to
chances are he'll be back for another year, and then when he's unrestricted, maybe someone will roll the dice
peace
on
out,
him.
Peace out, homie.
And someone will take him. And at that point, I think if you're Bill Belichick, you have to hope that Ryan Mallett has made the progression to be a backup, that you don't have to worry about it.
Or Mike Hartline.
Right.
did I say this on the air, the whole that I find it amazing now that two quarterbacks out of Michigan State or riding on the coattails of having never done anything, because Brian Hoyer has never done anything, and people think he could be a starter.
Mm.
And now Cousins is like riding Brian Hoyer's coattails.
Have you seen some of the things that have come out of the combine?
Even though Hoyer's never done anything.
He is now,
yeah,
by the way,
we see. You're
he's moved up as Kevin has
Spartan
his Spartans football.
Football.
You got a little Sparty in there.
His sister's had a couple little Sparties in her.
See,
now.
That's ridiculously, ridiculously inappropriate.
Do you think it's true?
No. I don't know his sister.
I don't know his sister either, but she
no,
taped
two,
the groin
two
of like 100 guys. She's touched some of those.
Do you remember
chonks.
Two gender sister?
She
was kind of
yeah,
hot.
I kind of remember seeing her.
But
she didn't tape the groin of 100, you know,
tell you my God, Fred.
College football players on testosterone.
Testosterone. Speaking of testosterone,
jeez.
Why don't you put some of yours
dial
away?
Dial it back a little bit. Dial it back.
I'm lifting again. That probably does increase my
oh,
testosterone
God.
Production.
Lifting again.
Kirk Cousins, by the way, has
the
shot up the charts. He was like a
he was
sixth
impressive
round projection.
At the interview
and
session.
I've seen
combine.
Some lists now that list him as the third quarterback. Literally the third quarterback behind the two studs.
Well, that's the problem.
That's insane.
There's a big jump there from two to three
based
in
on,
this draft class.
Based on the combine?
Yeah.
I mean, he had a great interview session at the combine.
And evidently,
but
he looked good. You know, he comported himself well on
yes.
the on-field workout.
So apparently,
now,
that's
don't
the
forget,
MO of Michigan State.
And don't
QBs.
Forget, a lot of guys didn't throw.
They're smart.
Yeah,
they know what to
true.
Do. They just can't do it.
Well, including the top two guys,
right?
And
someday
this guy, by good. All accounts, this guy Kirk Cousins is ridiculously impressive off the field. you know, we always tell the story about.
Why are we drafting people for off the field? Right. We need them on the field.
If you don't have the physical, especially at that position, if you can't physically, like Tom Brady's physical skills are so ridiculously undersold, you know, maybe now, you know, as he's approaching his mid 30s now or in his mid 30s, you know, he's starting to decline a little bit physically, but, you know, in his prime, you know, in those years from like, 02 to, you know, wow, whatever, 10, 11.
We've reached
11.
That phase where we're looking back on Tom Brady's
No,
prime.
But don't you think that his physical skills are ridiculously undersold?
More football behind him.
Tom Brady's ability to throw a 20-yard out is
I think they were
as good as anyone.
Undersold when he was coming breaking records at Michigan.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure what bowl game records Brian Hoyer holds at Michigan State.
You know, just because he didn't really look the part, he was kind of, you know, soft in the middle and,
none of them do.
You know, skinny beanpole.
But, Ryan Mallett is supposedly the physical perfection at quarterback.
He looks the same.
Yeah, yeah, he's slightly bigger.
He looks like Brady,
but
only
soft
taller.
And white and pale as Brady ever was in those combine shorts.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily sure what the
other
color
than Elway,
of his skin has
who
to do
was
that,
the quarterback that was like this, you know, physical specimen?
Brady Quinn.
Well, last year, Cam Newton.
Well, that's true.
Brady Quinn.
Yeah. And Brady Quinn. Brady Quinn.
Like
yep.
The bicep vein and stuff. When
you know, but you think
KP.
Of Marino and Montana and Brady.
I bet
and,
you they were all dumpy if you made them take their shirts
exactly.
off.
Yeah,
exactly. Oh, Marino, pretty, too, yeah.
Vinny Testaverde pretty shredded, especially for a 40-whatever-year-old.
Well, that's why he probably played that long.
Got the good stuff.
Yeah. What do you guys think of the players who don't who have the physical ability, they're not injured, but choose not to compete at the combine?
I don't care for it.
I don't care for it either.
I don't either.
I don't care. Period.
Oh. I mean, it's like they're so paranoid that, oh my God, if I run 0.2 seconds less, you
but
know,
I'm
people,
not even talking about
you
that.
Still
I'm
got
talking
your
about
pro
throwing.
Day.
You've been throwing your whole damn life. Just
right,
throw.
Right.
I mean,
especially
Cam
like
Newton had as bad a throwing performance last year as
at
anyone.
The combine, yeah.
And oh my God, he went number one overall. And right. Oh my God, he had a great rookie
right.
year.
It's like all of a sudden they're going to lose faith in these scouts who. All tell you that
right.
they look at film first, are going
right.
to forget about that, and they're going to put all their eggs in the combine basket. Just,
all the
just
agents.
Go out and do
agents
it.
Run amok.
Have fun.
And isn't there something to the coachability quotient where if I tell a guy in practice, hey, I need you to do this on the scout team, and he, you know, rookie, goes and does it. Before you get to that stage, the scouts want to say, hey, I want to see you throw to these wide receivers. Go do it.
Right.
Just go do it.
Just go do it.
You're going to have a pro day again anyway.
Right, right.
So you'll have another chance to throw. They have all the tape on you. Just do what you're told.
Right.
Unless you have, you know, shoulder surgery or something, you can't physically do it, fine. Right. But the guys who choose not right. to run, lift, throw, I don't
and
care
and
for it.
And RG3 was there, and I heard that, you know, he said, oh, geez, you know, he was watching him throw, and his mouth was watering to get out there and throw.
So throw.
Of course you want to go out there and throw. That's what you do. You're a quarterback.
But he wasn't hurt, so he could have just gone out there and done it.
Exactly. I don't get it.
It's
agents, basically.
It is all through the agents saying, no, you got to get with your receivers and your coach, and we'll script it. And part of it is us. Because we get the media reports when RG3 throws, he threw 72 passes and only one hit the ground. Well, who cares? I mean, whether one hit, did he throw well? Yeah. Did he not throw
right.
well?
He could have had great receivers who were catching all his bad
people
passes.
People watching know it's apples.
But we get
you know,
that
everyone's
year.
Under the same conditions.
Sam Bradford had it. Everyone has
and
it.
I give,
hit the ground.
I give Cam Newton.
Anybody with the ability to throw the ball complete every pass on one of those days?
Pretty much, yes.
Yep.
Yes.
I give Cam Newton a lot of credit last year for doing what he did.
Yes.
As bad an effort as he did, he did what he was told. He said, yeah, I'll do it. I'm a competitor. And you know what? Maybe you'll have a bad day that day. But a competitor comes back and has good days other days.
It doesn't bother me as much as you guys, but you're all right. I mean, I don't see what the downside is.
Right.
I don't get it.
It's just frustrating. It's annoying, you know?
It is annoying.
Yeah.
I don't care for it.
And it gives you the air of being a diva. Like, oh, I'm not throwing today. I'll throw it my pro day. It's
or just, the air of you can only compete when everything's perfect for you.
Exactly.
Well, guess what? It's never
going to
be
that way.
It's going to be windy and rainy, and the defense is good, and the safety is this, and the corner is
and
that.
And you could have jag receivers.
And your receiver has a bad hamstring, so he's not as fast as he normally is.
Yep.
And nobody's rushing you. Nobody, you have no pass rush.
Right.
You're not even in pads.
Right.
You're
in underwear.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it. They don't like being in underwear and throwing.
Well,
all right. Web
Did they
radio
use those monitors this year.
Yeah, and they also had wrist ones.
And they kept hyping that those would be available. Are they actually available?
The new Nike ones?
No,
Under Armour.
Oh, okay. Because Nike's coming out with a new Fuel Band or something like
that.
You
gonna get one?
No, it's like $200. I think.
Was it like fish oil?
But I saw my guy from Apple was wearing one at the Super Bowl.
Your guy?
And it actually looks like you know Times Square with the you know, the scrolling. Yeah. That's what it looks like. It's like
as a scrolling digital
thing.
Yeah,
it's like digital illuminated information that scrolls across.
What
the
does
band.
It tell you? Like your
tells
heart
you like
rate
heart rate, calorie.
You should probably get the
it's
heart
got a
rate
built-in.
Oh crap! I'm gonna die.
It's got a built-in pedometer. You know all this stuff. The pedometer isn't really that accurate. Like, you can sit still and move your arms really fast, and it thinks you're walking, and it'll add
you
to
can
the
trick it.
Paul
so, yeah,
doing.
So it's
Miller Lite in one hand, pump right. his arms.
So it's not 100% accurate
does it
yet.
Always have to come back to me.
But it looked funny, really cool. You know,
how does it?
Not that.
How does it do the measuring? Like, it's not. It's just on your wrist like a watch.
Yeah.
So that technology is interesting to me. How does it read your heart rate?
Must get your pulse or something.
Well, I think that your heart wrist? Rate
or no. Yeah, any of those things. How does it read it?
Well, caloric intake, for example, it probably works with your iPhone. So there's an app. So you type in what you just ate, and then that goes and that
Max,
wirelessly
Max,
feeds
Max.
Into the band and does the calculations and all that.
Overload.
Stuff.
Overload.
Calzone and a bottle of Coke.
Right.
20 ounces? No.
No,
I meant
two
a
liter.
Bottle of Coke.
2 liters.
But it looked cool. Mm. I don't know, $200 if that's the
two
actual.
Yeah,
price.
The players were still wearing. 6. They still were wearing the Under Armour things
with like
things,
the little
kit-like button
light that went back and
right.
forth.
And they also had. I think Under Armour also had their own version of that little wristband thing.
All right, webradiopatriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline.
What about the alpacas?
Oh.
The Green Bay alpacas?
No, the Fred Kirsch alpacas.
I need to hear this story.
What?
Are we going to save it for after the break? Or
it's not
are
really
we going
a story.
To a break or
well,
no?
We're not ready for a break because I don't think the food's here yet, right?
We don't, because then we'd have to take another break.
Well, I get back from the combine and I hear you guys talking about alpacas, and I was kiddingly saying, "Oh, Fred, you're getting an alpaca," and you said yes.
I'm thinking of
three.
Buying
not one,
right?
Not two.
I'm thinking three. Of, I'm thinking of buying a few alpacas to have in the
pack
backyard.
Of alpacas.
Yeah,
what is that? What they call them? Packs?
I guess.
A pack
herd.
Alpacas?
I think
herd.
Yeah.
What? Herder. What? And what's this for?
Just for the hell of it, and to take the wool and use it. You know, my wife knits a lot.
Pull it over your eyes.
Yeah. So.
So where are we in the process? Is this a done deal? Is it going to happen?
No.
You're serious, though.
I haven't.
You're on Craigslist?
Yeah, I am serious. They're not expensive. If you don't get them for breeding, they're very expensive. But if you just get them for what they call fiber, you can get them for real cheap.
As opposed to protein.
Then the cost is, you know, just building some fencing
but
on
I don't
my
understand.
Part.
So are you
putting
getting,
up a barn.
So are you going to shear them?
No.
So, well, I'd have someone come in and do that.
Oh.
Yeah.
But
that would be
Fred comes out with his
that
with
poor
his,
alpaca.
He comes out with his man groomer and he gets kicked in the face.
But is there, I worry more about the alpaca than me.
Is there no chance that the ones you get will or try to reproduce?
Oh
yeah,
you can get them. But
what makes the sire
right,
sires?
Right, it's
sire.
Everything about the sire is what they are looking for.
But you could get a decent one out of just regular.
Sure,
sex,
I
right?
mean by chance, but they.
But I mean, you're not going to end up with like a mule or a donkey, are you? Are they? You know how like one of those is like inbreeding.
Yeah.
No.
I believe what is it a donkey
know.
And a horse.
James,
produces
where are you?
A mule.
I don't know.
Or a horse yeah. and a mule provides but a donkey.
And
it's one
like
of those two.
It's wrong. It's,
when James catches up on the podcast, he's going to be like, "I got to call in."
No. But you know,
so you could breed them just for fun.
If I wanted to,
for but fun that's for their yeah right.
yeah.
Alpaca porn.
You could, but I think
oh,
that
they've
got it
her?
Pretty much down to a science. Because let me give you an example. You can buy a fiber alpaca for $300. $300 to $500.
All right.
You know, the top of the line breeding would be $30,000.
$30,000.
So you'll be going top of the line.
Right. So yeah, it's a
but
big
that's
difference.
Just for breeding. There's no
just
difference
for breeding.
In the hair and stuff, or is
oh
there?
It, no, the, everything about it is better.
Oh.
The you know, it's like how far the hair comes down the leg, the color.
Who knew
everything.
There was this subculture?
Yeah. Oh no, it's big.
Will you be able to sell your wool or only use it?
Well, you could sell it. Yeah.
You.
There's a lot of knitting
I'm
shops.
Saying, could you?
Sure.
Will you be?
I don't think with
or
three,
is
it'd
use
be,
it all?
Yeah, I don't think with three that you would get that much.
How many times a year do you
it's
shear?
Just once.
Just once.
Yeah,
once
and that's
a
the
year?
Other thing about breeding is just once a year too. That's why the price is so high because they
more than some of us.
Yeah. Well,
alpacas are getting it
right.
on more than Eric.
Right. So it's like you know the population isn't you know of these perfect ones isn't that high. So that's why the price remains high, because you can't do it more than once a year.
Why can't you?
That's the way they are.
Viagra, maybe, or something.
They're spent. Yeah. They just have these marathon sessions.
I need 365 to get ready to go again, baby.
Fred goes out back, and one of them is smoking a cigarette.
Smoking an alpaca cigarette.
But, it, you know,
there you go.
They're not high maintenance. They're very low maintenance. You know, so they're kind of
so
cool.
You have to build an enclosure.
Oh, yeah.
Like for the wintertime or whatever,
sure.
Right?
Sure. Even for the summer, you want to get them out of the heat, too.
Sure.
Yeah.
But yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow, what's the climate in Peru? That's where they're from, right?
Well,
but they live in
higher
elevation.
Up in the mountains, it's
yeah.
colder.
Yeah.
But they have them down in lower elevations, too, and it gets pretty warm down there, too.
You could get some sheep, too, so you'd have different kinds
you
of
could. Sheep. I don't think I'd want that, though.
You're going to build an ark, too?
Maybe.
It's going off the grid.
Yeah.
If we have that summertime bash at his house, now we're going to have alpacas
well,
right
I would hope. Jackson will go ballistic. If,
yeah.
If there's
be
a
like pop. A petting zoo.
And we can hit home runs into the alpaca pen. The
llama, llama, red pajama.
Now, do they, I assume they're domesticated to the
yeah.
point where, like, you could just bring
oh,
them
yeah.
in the house?
Oh, yeah. They, you know, even,
ah,
I was at this farm last weekend, and they had, like, 30 of them. And, you know, you walk in, and they're very curious.
They're docile, though?
Yeah, they come up, and they want to know what's going on. Obviously, they're...
hey, what's going on, bro?
I was reading Twitter. What's up, Bill?
They're probably looking for food, you know, a handout.
Right.
And once they find out that you don't have food, then they...
Then they move on.
They're not that interested anymore.
Luckily,
but,
you had a sub in your pocket.
The guy, like...
just in case.
The guy wanted to show, you know, the fiber, you know,
yeah.
the wool. And he basically takes it. And, you know, they don't like to be cornered, but he would get it cornered, like kind of put its head under his arm like a headlock. And once, you know, they're very taped, like they're not kicking or anything. Once you have them, they're like, they completely
they give
submit.
Up?
Yeah. And the wool is unbelievable. You look at it, you think it'd be really coarse. It's so soft and it's like 8 inches thick. It's unbelievable.
8 inches.
Yeah.
Can they be ridden?
No, I don't.
God bless
like
you,
a llama?
Alpaca.
I was thinking like you could do birthday parties for little kids.
Yeah, I don't think you'd want to do that.
You imagine walking over to Fred's house and seeing him with an alpaca and a headlock.
We get there for the party and Fred walks out with an alpaca under his arm. Yeah. Hey, guys. Oh, yeah, just put the beard on anywhere
I'm
you
looking
want.
Forward to it.
Yeah.
You need to do it.
They're pretty cool. They're pretty cool.
And they just stay in their area. Like they don't. You have no danger
yeah,
of them coming into the house or anything?
Well,
like, wandering
in a fence.
Knocking on the door.
Yeah.
Well, I'll come in.
What's going on in there?
I got home and I opened the garage from the outside and I put my barrels away because it was trash day.
It was an alpaca?
And I forgot. So I left the garage was open for like 2 hours. The door was open. And I actually went out and I remembered and I looked and there was like three turkeys walking down the street. And I'm like, ooh, that could have been a disaster.
They were like, warm.
Get stuck with three turkeys in my garage.
Drinking Miller Lite.
I mean,
well, that would have been really bad. I didn't even think of that.
And you know, they
drunk get... turkeys.
Something's wrong with the email.
Oh. I just thought it was the story that shut everybody up.
And we wasted our time telling the story when we could have used it now as filler.
For some reason, I have no emails.
What?
Not
I think
one.
It was the alpaca story.
I don't
what
know.
What did you have
going
in?
That's the old Eddie Edelman line. Something's wrong with the phone lines.
I
why, Eddie?
Off,
no, I don't know. What's calling.
Do you have emails in there?
Well, I have the web radio account. I'll print them off for you.
Yeah, because I something wrong here. I don't know what it is.
You.
Did you try signing out and signing back in?
Well, I just
did you try
that.
Unplugging it and plugging
that's
back
what
in?
IT will do.
I just did that. So.
Have you looked into the legality? Do you need to get permits for these?
I haven't looked into that yet.
Oh.
License them and all that kind
we
of crap.
We haven't even looked into
now
the
I got them. I got them. I figured it out.
Now, are you getting these straight from Peru? Or
I'm
going to
get them from this farm in Rhode Island.
Oh, really? A breeder in Rhode Island?
Exeter. Yeah.
Well, that's the
wow.
you know it's.
I'd rather enter her.
Oh,
it's you know when it comes to alpacas, it's Lima and it's
Exeter,
Exeter,
Rhode Island.
Those are the two hotbeds.
Actually, there's quite a few alpaca farms sprouting up.
Really?
Yeah, because they're easy to maintain.
There's a lot of yuppie suckers like
you know, and the wool is very desirable. It's better than the sheep's wool.
Hmm. How come I've never like ever seen anything? Where do you get it? Like.
The
are there
wool?
Stores that sell
yeah, if you
like,
go to any knitting shop, they'll have one area with alpaca.
Top
wool.
Shelf, top shelf.
Yeah.
They also, like, high-end stores are now starting to carry things, promoting
well,
those alpaca.
When I was in
right?
China, I was reading the newspaper there, and, you know. The,
you were?
The newspaper.
Are you fluent in Mandarin?
The newspaper is aimed at, you know, businessmen that travel.
Chinese people.
Yeah.
You know, so there was a big ad for, you know,
they just call the people
to reserve this special alpaca wool to have your
food?
Business suits
right.
done, and it was like $50,000 to make a reservation for
that
the wool.
Yen.
50,000 to make a reservation.
So
it's like a PSL, because
they expected like this big crop of the finest alpaca wool to be in, and you could reserve, you know, a certain amount of bales or whatever.
Wow.
So alpacas are big in China?
Well, no, they're big among businessmen that, you know, that can afford like the finest suits.
I'd rather have panda suits.
Or like tailors, you know, that serve the high clientele. They reserve the wool, you know, the clothing.
See, Andy comes in with black pants and a white jacket and
I've thought of getting animals, but I want to get an animal I can get something out of, like a chickens or a pig.
With eggs, yeah.
I was thinking a pig. I bet you your own bacon is yummy.
Oh, but then you have to kill it and slaughter it and all that stuff.
I don't have to do it. A guy will just come pick it up and bring me stuff.
I know, but you raise these things and then you know, you give them names and then you slaughter them.
Yeah, you become
I'm going to name him Bacon. Maybe breakfast.
Yeah, I don't know.
What do you tell Jackson when he becomes attached
exactly.
to it?
Exactly.
He, for some reason, already knows a lot about where food comes from. This came from a cow, right, Dad? They killed the cow so I could eat it?
Well, living with you, he knows where it comes out of. I'm telling you that much.
Read an email. And where is lunch?
Webradio at pages.com is the email address.
They were right.
Adam writes in, why is it slow today?
No, they blame the weather.
Blizzard out there.
Even though there's like 2 inches of snow out there.
Did Chris make it in?
Did Chris make it in? I know he was supposed to get 2 feet of snow.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. You know what I did last night, Freddie? I backed into my driveway so I could plow my way out this morning.
There you go.
Eric prepared by taking the day off.
Right.
I did. I didn't want anything to do with it.
I wanted nothing to do with it.
I wanted nothing to do with a dusting.
I was very productive at home.
Today's the day you would have taken off because now the
driving but all the reports were saying between 1 and 6 o'clock we were going
to
get all this snow. So
the day you take off. See, you don't waste vacation days in February.
True, unless you're going on vacation.
He's got me there.
If you go away, yeah.
It's February vacation, that's what they call it.
But to stay in the hills of Providence, you wait till July.
Yeah, that's correct.
Webradio at patriots.com. Adam says, hey, guys, how is it going? I started listening to you last year about this time and love the insight and analysis you brought. It took me a while to find you guys because I was in the military.
Sorry about the last 20 minutes then.
Thank you for your service.
Anyway, as I see it, the Patriots are at roughly $30 million under the cap, $20 million in cap space, $6.67 million rollover from last year in cuts and also Chad's contract renegotiations. So with that, here is my best case scenario for the Patriots this offseason. Please tell me what you think and if this would be feasible. For wide receiver, he'd like to get Welker and Branch, cheaper option than Wayne, but also proven commodity, and Meacham. Offensive line, he wants to bring back Copen and or Connolly, depending on the price. Veteran O-line depth, we have a lot of those guys, also depends on the light situation. And on defense, he wants to bring in Mario Williams.
Yes.
Okay.
Williams and Meacham, I'm on board. I don't need to know all the details of the rest.
I'll take those two.
Yep. He wants to bring back Carter, possibly a PUP candidate, will be cheap, great leader.
Yeah.
Let Anderson go.
Yep.
I see too much of a Telly Bannikane situation there.
Think there's a lot of Tully there.
And bring in veterans depth at safety and or corner.
And he hasn't even gotten to the draft
yet. He is now. With the first pick, Mark Barron.
Love this guy. Who wrote this, Andy?
With the second pick in the first round, Whitney Mercilus, Paul's guy.
Oh, man.
I'm done. Offseason over. Perfect. Dream.
He wants to trade away the first second-round pick for possibly
Turpin.
A second next year, something like that, if not take a corner there.
I don't agree with that.
If light leaves, if you don't get an offensive lineman depth at free agency, get it there. Two, with the second-round pick, Kendall Reese. Big, long, good potential prospect at the 5 technique.
Reyes, the kid from UConn?
And with the third pick, or third round pick, Andy's boy Hill, if he drops this far back due to lack of production.
I don't think he'll be available in the third round.
So
probably not.
But I'll take him in the second.
That's one man's off-season plan.
That's pretty good.
I'm happy with it. I mean, you fill a lot of needs, high-end talent, some developmental talent. I'll take it. I mean, Mario Williams, if he's not just your centerpiece. I mean, he's great. But if you're adding Mercilus, too, there's a chance he's one of those young rookie impact, you know, 7-sack guys.
Because he's being helped by...
And you brought Andre Carter back for midseason?
Or at least half the year, yeah.
I mean...
That's a great scenario.
I'm tremendously excited about that team. Won't happen, but... There's zero chance we get Meacham and Mario Williams. I'm going with that.
Yemi from Texas wants to know, the length of the arms of an offensive lineman became a huge topic during the combine. Does the same criteria apply to defensive linemen?
It's actually
edge guys.
More important for the edge guys, yeah.
And certainly more important here than most places else. A lot of other people under the theory is to deal with the long-armed offensive linemen, you have to have long arms yourself, keep them off you, blah, 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 blah. And Bill really seems to like those long, big guys on the edge. Other people go with Lamar Woodley and James Harris.
Actual production, yeah.
He really spun that with some tone.
It's a tonality issue right there.
But, yes, they do kind of go hand in hand.
Mike from Stonehill, just thought I'd let you know I'm having some trouble getting to the show today. I've never had this problem before. I guess I'll have to catch it
it's
later.
It's the weather.
Regardless, I had a question. Do you see the Patriots addressing the secondary more in the first four picks in the draft or through free agency? And do you see the interior defensive line as a position of need going into the draft? I know this class is particularly deep at defensive tackle. Do you see Bill using one of his top 44 picks on a defensive tackle? At the moment, I'd rather see the picks spent addressing the wide receiver position or on our now all-too-familiar positions of need, corner, safety, and outside linebacker. One last question. How excited are you to hear from Bill Polian on a regular basis on ESPN? As if Peyton Manning and the Colts don't get their balls washed enough on the worldwide leader in sports. I think ESPN announced that he's going to be an analyst.
Is he?
Must be something to be ESPN.
And just hire everyone?
And just be able to get anyone you want.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, at least I'll know when to turn the sound down.
See, all the time on ESPN.
If he talks the way he has on his radio shows,
he'll be great.
That'd be fabulous.
Right, it's good.
He's one of the few guys that actually
says
his opinions.
Right.
But I do wonder, like,
even though I hate him,
do they let people go when they sign? I mean,
they just,
how many analysts
they just
can
add
have?
Content? They just add content. Let's come up with another show.
No, but it is. I mean, I know what Andy's point is. At some point, how do you have all these shows with all these guys talking if you just continue to add without subtracting?
At some point, Mark Schlereth is sitting in an office like, they haven't called in a while. Paychecks are still coming, but they haven't called me in forever.
It's like Andy and I, we do the Comcast show. You know, we're doing it all the time during football season. All of a sudden, they didn't let us go, but they don't call us anymore in the off season. At some point, you keep adding.
The paychecks stop coming.
Yeah, you keep adding to the roster. You have to subtract.
Maybe they have unique agreements with these guys that's based on
when I get someone better, you're
right. And I mean, they have a lot of stuff. Obviously, all the internet stuff, you see them pop up. They have all the network of radio stations, local. I mean, I guess you can kind of keep them busy, but is it worth it? Because these guys aren't signing, you know, $35,000 contracts. They're all getting good money.
Guys
to do
like
this.
That,
right? Yeah. All these names, the players that.
I'll tell you, that worldwide leader, they print money. They make money hand over fist.
Do they?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They are very, very profitable.
Really. Helps to be associated with Disney, too, a little bit.
What are you doing?
What?
Really?
I don't know.
ESPN?
But I don't know how it works. I mean, just because something seems
I can see what Andy's saying. You know, maybe their margin of profit isn't that high.
They've grown a lot. And all these growths take...
Trust
and they've
me.
Had all these failures. Remember when they had ESPN phone service or whatever?
Right.
And they had,
trust
you
me.
Know, now they have 3D, which I think is going to be a colossal failure. And
they print money.
That's not legal.
As for his first question,
yes.
I just hope Bill uses all four of those first picks and doesn't
trade them away later in the draft so he can
fill in other drafts.
Well, I think especially with the holes
other
they have.
Drafts I'm fine with.
What they have in the draft.
If he's not going to use them, eventually
I just want
tomorrow's going to be today.
For us to end early.
Yeah, but it's still not going to, so what's the difference?
It could end early. If,
why is it not
they'll be done in the fourth round.
Because you're not going to know that they didn't trade down. You're not going to know that for certain. You're still going to have to sit there and wait and make
sure. Sunday could be very easy for us. Or Saturday could be very easy for us.
Once they're out of picks, they can't trade down.
Yeah, but what's the last pick?
I don't know.
Fourth round
somewhere.
So we don't have anything in the fifth, sixth, and seventh?
Nope.
No. Now, they could trade.
They could still acquire one.
They could still acquire one.
But
I doubt
acquire one.
First of all,
it's
a virtual certainty that they're going to trade down at some point because of those gaps in the draft.
I hope it's with their third or fourth round pick that they decide to move down.
Well, they're not going to trade a second for a seventh.
I'm fairly certain of that. Thank you. You just reminded me.
Sorry, I got to get Andy going again.
No, all these tweets yesterday, and there were these rumors because Peter King wrote that teams were contacting the Rams, and there was one team that you'd, quote, never expect.
Oh, it has to be the Patriots.
And everybody assumed it was the Patriots.
Right.
Adam Hart on Comcast wrote something, and people, Adam Hart is saying that they're going to trade up to number. Why?
Right.
That makes zero sense on any level. Why would you trade to two? By all accounts, the first and second pick are going to be quarterbacks, Luck and Griffin. There is no can't miss. I mean, everybody else who's up there, Khalil is great, but I've never
like
heard
a debate
anyone.
Friday.
No, but why would you be trading? And then other people are like, oh, well, then he'll swap that two. What?
Be interesting.
So now
to see
he's just
writes.
Brokering a deal?
Well, okay, so. You know, let's play that out. You get that second pick. Now you're the Patriots. You have the second pick. You know that people want a quarterback. You then.
And they know you're not going to take one. So they'll trade to the third pick.
Okay, let's play devil's advocate.
He's going to take Griffin.
He absolutely has fallen in love with Robert Griffin.
Then I'm okay with it.
And that's the guy.
Then I'm okay with it.
You know what? Brady's only going to be around another year now.
I'm okay with it.
As Herman Edwards would say.
Now I'm fine with it. If he believes that, I'm fine with it. I think that's ridiculous.
I do too. I was,
but I'm
obviously
totally fine with it.
Can't state enough. I'm playing devil's advocate
there
here.
There could be a lot of teams that know. I wouldn't expect the San Francisco 49ers to trade up there, but you never know.
The only theory that I thought was good, and Adam Hart may have written this, is he wants to know who's going to trade into the spot so he'll know where the Rams could be picking so it could affect his draft board. But I don't know you do that much work in that far in advance. You know what I mean? If the Rams are now picking 25th, they're two spots ahead of you. Who are they going to be looking for? How does that affect how you have to trade up or not trade up? Blah, blah, blah. But it would be the most stunning thing I've ever seen if they traded to the number two pick. I think there is less than negative 100% chance of it.
Well, you know, just they'd have to give up. They're both the first round picks plus what? Their second?
And a lot more than that.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Last year.
You'd be pulling a Mike Ditka giving up all of this draft and part of next.
Atlanta went from 27, I think, to 6. And they switched places in the first round. They got 4 draft picks. They got a 1 next year, a 2 in both years, and a 4, I think.
Yeah. No chance.
I think the Patriots. Well, the Patriots would be a team no one would expect, but I think there's a lot of teams that no one would expect.
Well, first of all, anybody with a quarterback, no one would expect.
Right.
Like the Eagles.
Yeah.
Or, you know, a team that's always creative and active.
Exactly. Yes.
They wouldn't expect them.
The Eagles are another good one.
There's a difference between saying a team you wouldn't expect and a team that there is no chance it's going to happen.
Right.
And that would be the Patriots category.
TG and NJ says we did Bill stop talking about
Robert
it.
Griffin.
We did stop talking about it a while ago, but he says enough on the wideout divas. Moss, Ocho, T.O. They're like the three tenors. They are the three divas. Their time in the NFL is over. Let it pass, please. Time to move on. None of those players present any future for the Patriots. We need youth and players that can develop and grow in the system. Moss is too old. Ocho's too dumb. T.O. is too well. Yeah, I'd take Jabbar Gaffney before I would take back any of those divas. I'm surprised you guys haven't brought up Plaxico. So, all right.
I certainly wouldn't take Plaxico.
Time to take a quick break. Food's here. We need to re-energize, and we'll be back. Finish strong when we come back.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEAT or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, right?
Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, what's that?
A Dunkin' Donuts hot chocolate with a turbo shot of espresso.
So you're making a statement about the duality of mankind, in that we can be warm and cozy, yet intense and energetic. That's quite the dichotomy you've exposed.
Actually, it's just really delicious.
Charge up your Dunkin' hot chocolate with a Turbo Shot. Add some espresso to your favorite cup of chocolate comfort today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
These Dunkin' sausage pancake bites are so good. I love how they wrap tasty sausages in yummy pancakes.
Actually, I believe they took yummy pancakes and filled them with tasty sausages.
Huh. You say pancake sausage bites, I say sausage pancake bites.
Try Dunkin' Donuts sausage pancake bites. Your favorite breakfast flavors together in one delicious bite. Grab three for just $1.59. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes.
I love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never been owned before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Horizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
When we played at Reliant in the Super Bowl, remember how humid it got
it
at the end of
really,
that game?
It was really, really hot.
It was very humid, and the grass got slippery. Remember
but they
that?
Take that field out, you know.
In trays.
But, yes, but right. It stays out in the parking lot.
But if it goes in moist, it doesn't dry.
You're such a child.
I really am.
I can't help it.
I thought it too.
No, you got to make it.
You didn't laugh out loud.
Parts of it will stay hard, and other parts,
Jesus,
will the end zones were soggy.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. Who bought lunch today, Kevin?
Anthony in Naples.
Anthony. Thank you very much, Anthony. It was much needed.
Thank you, Anthony.
Because you start talking, and all of a sudden you realize, I haven't eaten in a while.
Yeah.
And
talking gets works up an appetite.
It does. Brooklyn Matt says, I was listening to the start of the show with the Ocho debate, and I heard activity out in the apartment hallway. I went out to look, and it was this hot, skeezy chick moving in downstairs. I chatted her up for 15 minutes, and when I came back in, you guys were talking about freaking alpacas. Man, what a buzzkill. Talk about going from hot to cold in a New York minute. So,
in a Brooklyn minute.
In a made-up minute.
Oh, there you go.
Guy lives in his own little fantasy world, which is fine. I mean, you know, if it gets you through, that's cool, but don't try to drag us into it.
Let's see. Todd writes in, what do you guys think about Travis Benjamin, wide receiver out of Miami? He looked really fluid and super quick in and out of his breaks and his drills. He's only 5'10", but he's proved over the years that they don't care about a wide receiver if he's 6'4". He also ran a 4.36 and could help out on special teams right away. That's Todd in Nova Scotia.
Yep.
You guys hear about him?
Yeah, heard about him, but nothing really there. Low level prospect. Very, you know, late round guy. Listen, if you're going to be enamored by speed, why not get the guy that is 6'4 and can run the same time, Stephen Hill from Georgia Tech, who's a borderline first round pick. He ran a 4.36 40 also, and he's 6'4 instead of 5'10. Benjamin, by the way, third rated receiver on his own team with Miami. I just wasn't overly impressed. He was one of the guys that was talking a lot of smack about
how great he was.
He's going to run a sub 4.3 40. Yeah. Listen, he ran a great time, 4.36. But I don't know. I didn't think there was a whole lot there in watching him. What'd you think?
I mean, I tried not to put too much stock in.
No, I'm not putting any stock
in the combine workout.
No. I'm talking about his write up. You know.
Yeah, like you said, if he can't even be the top guy in his own team, I'm not going to get too excited about it.
Tim in Baltimore, what if the Patriots trade up to the number 2 pick before Manning gets signed? Is it mathematically impossible, or not impossible, possible for the value of the number 2 pick to increase after that deal and leave the Patriots in a position of increased leverage?
So possible to make the value of the number 2 pick go up?
If you do it before Manning gets signed, and then he gets signed.
Oh, I see.
I don't. Can you guys explain it to me?
Well, it's not like the Colts aren't going to take a quarterback, though. So they're still only going to be...
Well, I think that's the assumption, is that they stick with Manning? No?
No. They'll take one of those two quarterbacks no matter what.
Oh, yeah. No, the Colts are definitely taking...
Luck.
And I would say,
I was going to say a quarterback, but yeah, Luck.
So whether or not they re-sign Peyton, irrelevant.
I don't see how.
Because
I mean,
only one of those two quarterbacks is going to be
available. Andy has the very pensive. I've been reading the CBA look, and
so maybe
you don't know.
Maybe the point is another team that would be a possible quarterback drafting candidate signs Manning.
That's very possible.
Well, that's possible.
It doesn't add any value to the number 2 pick.
No, because
if anything, it would take it away.
Take it away because there's one less person.
One less suitor.
Right.
Now, realistically, I don't think it really affects it one way or the other. There's still enough teams that would be interested in taking Robert Griffin at number 2 to have a market for that pick. I think that pick is going to be valuable. I think the Rams are doing the right thing, letting everybody know that pick is available.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you take the highest bidder. I think that's smart business by Les Snead.
Huh?
Snead is the general manager of the Rams.
Less is more.
Oh, I just want to let Anthony know, I believe these are the best cookies we've ever had.
Anthony did a great job with the lunch.
I just devoured two of those. That white, I am addicted to the white chocolate creamery cookie.
Oh, it's great.
The warm, soft,
a lot of
sweet.
Butter in those. That's what I think it is.
I think that's why I've added weight. I mean, that is like the one.
Are you up to
literally
now?
I'm down now because I started working out.
Oh,
but
God.
I literally think I'm addicted to them. If those sit in front of me, I cannot not eat them.
Chris is writing in. He says, love the show as always. I look forward to Tuesdays and Thursdays during the off season. Some quick points since I'm at work. Brandon Lloyd becoming a Patriot would be based off of Josh McDaniel's call. I'm sure if Josh gives him the seal of approval, which I believe he will become a Patriot as long as he doesn't want to break the bank. Unless the Patriots are serious about someone of the quality of Williams from the Texans, then I would love to see Mike Wallace as a Patriot. Well worth giving up a late first-round pick for, even with the large salary. And lastly, what are your thoughts on Harrison Smith, 6'3" safety out of Notre Dame? I must admit that I didn't watch him at Notre Dame.
He had a good combine.
So I don't know much about him other than what I saw during the combine and what Mayock was saying about him. But he seems very fluid in his movement and looks to be a free safety, even though he looks like a linebacker. Thanks for always putting out an entertaining show. And, Andy, I'm also passionate about breasts, but why stop there? I love ass and cleavage as well.
Well, breasts are part of the cleavage. Cleavage is part of the breast area. Yeah.
I'm not an ass man.
Unless he was talking about ass cleavage.
Oh, come on.
I mean, again, I like a nice ass, but I start with breasts and move on from there.
Breasts is like way up here and then is a big jump to number two.
Harrison Smith is very tall
because he's the guy that I watched almost fell down. Aside from that, he had a great combine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I even saw Deion talking about him, or somebody saying about how Deion was like, you can't even tell if he's a corner or a safety. That's how fluid he is.
Tall, though. No?
Yeah, but that doesn't matter if you can run.
I like
you can
that.
Run backwards.
I'm just saying, a little tall for cornerback standards.
That's great. The taller you are, and if you can stay as
fluid.
Would
Mike Haynes be a good cornerback in today's NFL?
Of course.
He's pretty tall, right?
The way he got physical with receivers and prep, yeah.
I'll be curious to
Hall
watch
of Famers
this,
usually would be Hall of Famers no matter when they play.
Harrison's tape, because it's like we said, he had a great combine, and he's tall for the position. So if he can really play, that's great. But I'm just wondering why we didn't hear about him that much during the season.
Well, Harrison Smith, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He kept saying Harrison, and I was like,
he's a guy that was. I mean, listen, Notre Dame has not been great on the national level for several years, but he's a guy that's been in that draft buzz. He's widely considered the second best. I mean, Barron is everybody's best safety.
Right.
Harrison Smith has been on most people's list as number two or three.
But he doesn't box, so no one knows who he is.
Oh, shot.
It's a Tom Zipikowski reference.
Wow. Also like the way he talked about doing so many different things at Notre Dame. He liked someone asked him about the aspects of the position that he likes, and he said he really likes being the guy, the communicator, the guy that gets everybody set. And asked about covering, out of the slot, tight ends and stuff. I thought, I had to cover a guy who was one of the best in Kyle Rudolph in practice every day last year. He's one of the high draft picks, so I feel like that's a strength of my game, too. I thought he had thoughtful answers to questions that everybody gets. You know, they're kind of routine questions. I thought he gave some thoughtful answers to, and they made sense.
Okay, I have a couple questions. Who was the safety coach here who was at Notre Dame?
Corwin Brown.
Corwin Brown. Okay, so he played for Corwin Brown, correct? But more importantly, what happened to Corwin Brown?
He had a problem.
Yeah, what happened with that?
Something to do with his girlfriend.
But how did that play out?
I don't know.
I remember that being like a major thing, and now I don't remember how it ended.
Yeah.
I don't think we ever covered how it ended.
It sounded to me like they were looking to get him some help.
Right, but it didn't end poorly, correct? Like no one died or anything?
No, I don't think so. No,
okay, good.
No. I at least I didn't hear about it.
I think
we would have.
I just couldn't remember how it played out. I remember the issue, and then
yeah,
that was last start of last training camp, right?
Yeah.
The other thing that Smith talked about was the differences in his coaching staffs, because he played for Kelly for 2 years, and played for Weiss before that, and just talking about how
both are jerks that yell at people.
Well, the NFL system, the style that Weiss had. Based on his talking with teams now at the Combine, he feels is clearly an NFL system in terms of meetings, preparation, film study, off-the-field stuff, not necessarily a system of defense on the field. So I even think that might help him down the road, having some familiarity with how things are done at the NFL level.
I don't really get that.
What?
Like, how do you meet in an NFL way? How do you have film sessions in an NFL way, especially when you're limited in college to whatever the hours are per week of on-field, off-field, film room. I don't really know what that means. It seems like it's a nice little catchphrase. Yeah, he ran a pro system at Notre Dame.
I don't have my notes
in front
of me. The
rules are totally different.
I could read you the whole. He had some detailed differences. He actually was asked specifically about the differences, and he talked about the length of time, the time of day. He said it was
it about the way
intense.
They looked at film?
It was more intense with Kelly. But didn't seem like it was as productive, for lack of a better way. I think was how he didn't say that. He didn't trash Kelly, but I got the impression from listening to him that he felt like Weiss was the better style,
more organized,
yeah,
more efficient.
And I could get
neither one.
I could get the notes from I don't want to misrepresent him. I don't even want to try to paraphrase because I might not do. I might do him a disservice.
Derek from the University of Arizona writes in, it's been a while. since I've been able to write in, but I haven't missed a show. Everything from the combine to Kate Upton in Pound Town. By the way, she is overrated.
Thank you.
I don't think so.
I have a lot of people supporting me, men, women. A lot of people agree. Overrated. And airbrushed on that cover. Grossly airbrushed on that cover. Oh, God, yeah.
It is time of year, once again, to push a name from Arizona this year. It's the wide receiver, Jerron Kreiner. Kreiner had a poor combine, but after watching him play over the past few seasons, I know he could contribute here. He isn't a burner. He ran a 4.59 40, but he's a big body, 6'3", 225, with the capability to play outside and develop into a number one receiver. He struggles getting separation, but I've seen him watch a lot of plays downfield after the catch to know he would be a good addition. I think he'd be worth a look in the mid to late second round. What do you guys think of him? Going off of the last two seasons, both guys I've liked, Rob Gronkowski and Brooks Reed, have played well, and I think Kreiner is a sleeper in a pretty deep receiving class this year.
Well, no. Stephen Hill is my guy if I'm going to be looking in the middle of the second round. I don't want this sleeper, slow sleeper who can't separate.
Okay.
How much have you seen of this Hill character?
Well, not much.
Other than the combine.
He catches the ball well with his hands.
In the drills at the combine?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I have not seen a whole lot of Kreiner because West Coast teams, you don't see the Pac-10, the Pac-12 all that often because the games are so late. But Hill I've seen actually quite a bit of. But it is one of those things that they run the wishbone, and it's
right, doesn't matter.
Handing it off to the fullback five plays in a row, the quarterback, you know, putting it in the belly of the fullback and then getting to the edge five more plays in a row, and all of a sudden they have a 50-yard drive going, and then they stick it in the fullback's belly and then pull it back and throw a deep fade down the sideline to a guy who's wide open. That was Stephen Hill a lot. He averaged like 30 yards a catch. I mean, that's ridiculous.
That is.
The world's most interesting Patriots fan, James Pettigrew, writes in. He says, hey, bitches, theoretical for you, who would you rather have on your team, Mario Williams or Wes Welker? Please don't argue as to whether the system would change.
Mario Williams.
I think Mario Williams.
Game changer.
Yeah.
Who happens to be on NFL Network right now. They're doing a 2006 path to the draft.
Hey, let me go back to Derek real quick. Just a question for you. What do you think of Nick Foles? Got to listen to him a little bit at the combine. I know he's not a highly rated prospect, but just curious as to your thoughts on the Arizona quarterback. Carry on.
Proceed.
Yeah, Mario Williams would be my top free agent. And he was number two on the PFW list. They had Drew Brees number one, which is obvious, a franchise quarterback if you actually hit free agency. But to me, Mario Williams is young, prime of his career, edge player,
difference maker,
makes people around him better. Although he didn't, because when he got hurt, theoretically, they were still good on defense. But I'll take him.
And if you do that and it means you can't have Wes Welker, yeah, you do have to make up for what you're losing in Wes Welker. But I think I'll make that sacrifice.
Mario Williams becomes your Tom Brady of your offense. Yeah. I mean, your defense. Tom Brady is the Tom Brady of your offense. Wes Welker is not.
Right. Right. So I'd make that sacrifice.
Although, saying that, the one problem is the whole Brady factor. If he sulks for a year and a half, if he only has 2 years left and he sulks for a year of it, that's not a good thing.
You have to get him some help, though.
Yeah, but he might just sulk if you don't get him Welker.
No matter who you bring in, you think?
Because I want Welker. I mean, I don't know that for sure, but that's his boy.
If that would happen, you know what? It might be time to cut ties.
With Brady?
If he gets that, if it's that bad, oh, listen, we're going to draft a guy in the first round, and we're going to also bring you Brandon Lloyd and Robert Meacham. No, I want Welker. Well, you know what? Might be time to make a move.
Yeah, I don't think
I agree.
That.
No,
I don't think he would do that.
And
either.
We don't know that he would, because last time when he really sulked, they didn't get him anybody.
He had a reason.
They replaced his guys with nobodies.
Greg writes in, what are Mr. Draft and Grandpa Draft and Mrs. Draft's thoughts on the defensive end outside linebacker Shea McClellan from Boise State as a second or third round pick? He has a size Bill likes, 6'3", 258, and ran a 4.68. Reminds me of a more physically gifted Ninkovich.
Did you talk to him, Paul, or was he one of the guys that they didn't trot out till the next day?
He's one I have to plead ignorant on. I know who he is, obviously, but I didn't get to see him a whole lot with Boise, and I didn't get to hear from him at the combine.
That's too bad. There were the usual crop of, you know, they actually did better this year in the combine of getting the players out on the days that they were supposed to be there.
A lot of times, a lot of the big name guys at the positions take a day or so before they actually come out and meet the media. But they did a much better job this year of getting all those guys out there, with a few exceptions, and he was one of them.
Cormac writes in. He says, how are you? Don't worry. I haven't been gone anywhere. I've been listening. I've been writing. Just Fred hasn't been reading. And for the upteenth time, I'm here and willing to buy you lunch. Just let me know.
Well,
no.
Kevin.
Kevin walks out. Where is this? Okay, so I wanted to address the offensive scheme that we play and pose the question, does it really need to be this complex? We have Tom Terrific. We have two top tight ends, great slot receivers. Does the scheme really need to be this complicated for us to succeed with this talent? Additionally, is the price we pay for having this scheme really worth it? Wide receivers that we either draft or grab in free agency have trouble getting to grips with this system, and we oft end up having to settle for receivers with less talent but who can understand our scheme. Sure, our offense is still really potent, but so are several other teams in this league, New Orleans, Green Bay. Do all the top offenses have to deploy this complicated system that the Patriots play? I honestly don't know, but my guess is they don't. My thought is that surely there's a case to be made for simplifying some stuff in order to increase the odds that more talented wide receivers will work out here. A system that is too complicated for some people is surely something to be fixed and not admired.
Well, but the system has gotten you to 5 Super Bowls in 10 years.
Yeah.
And 11 years,
year
whatever.
Year in, year out, you're one of the best offenses in
right.
the game.
Right. So it's...
And is the...
We're looking for perfection.
Is the New Orleans offense that less difficult?
I don't know. I got to think that there's a level of sophistication with those better offenses, too.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know, you know, if it's the same. You know, Green Bay has a West Coast offense. Seems to me there's a lot of timing and adjustments
right.
involved with that, too. I know that Bill is often balked with the comparisons, and it's not the same, the Patriots system and a West Coast offense. But
it's different, but it's the same.
I think there's some similarities, don't you?
And then the other issue is part of Brady's greatness is his mental ability to slow the game down, read what's going on, and succeed in this type of offense. He's not the most physically gifted. So the less you take advantage of what maybe is his greatest strength, you're doing a disservice to your offense if you don't ask him to run a complex offense.
I'm going to make another point, too, about this. When the Patriots start drafting receivers that are not smart enough, good enough, whatever, to compete in this system but go elsewhere and light it up, then I'll start saying maybe there's something to that. But you have guys like Taylor Price, Brandon Tate, Chad Jackson. I mean, there's some good high draft picks the Patriots have used in recent years that have left New England and thus far have not made an imprint elsewhere.
They were just swings and misses.
So I'm not sure that it's the system's fault.
Particularly Jackson.
Well, Chad Jackson, obviously, the book is closed. I'd be willing to say Taylor Price and Brandon Tate, not so much yet.
Right.
Let's give them a little
mm-hmm.
bit of time.
Yep.
With their new places, especially Price, who only got to Jacksonville late last
and
year.
And Tate did contribute all year for the Bengals.
Yeah, but not as a receiver.
But
he did the same thing. He did the same thing with the Bengals that he did with the Patriots.
Yeah.
He was a hit and run, hit and miss mm-hmm. return man. But if these guys start going elsewhere and catch 50 balls, then I'll say, you know what? Maybe they got to do something about that system, or maybe they have to examine why those receivers aren't fitting in better and do something about it. But I mean, the free agents that they bring in that don't pan out are generally end-of-the-line guys.
Right. They've never tried.
You know?
They've never gone out and signed a young, developing receiver.
And the rookies...
And given him the time to play out in the system.
You know, the rookies that haven't panned out...
Haven't panned out.
Haven't panned out anywhere else either.
And the counter-argument is also Rob Gronkowski, Aaron Hernandez, Julian Edelman are guys that have come in and seemingly picked up the offense and contributed and played... So it's not like it's totally impossible for young guys to do. There's example of guys doing it. We're going to keep talking because Fred's getting a cookie right now.
I'm moving on to my dessert. Larry says that he thinks that alpacas spit.
No, I think those are llamas. Llamas are meaner.
Llamas are. Alpacas will spit sometimes, but then if you get an overly aggressive one and you're not worried about breeding, you just have them gelded. And then that kind of takes their aggressiveness out.
Oh,
come on. You
they
do it with the dogs and cats all the time.
They spit at you just arbitrarily or because you're doing something
to them?
Wait a minute,
they get in fights.
Andy's upset about you you know, taking care of business, so to speak, but he's looking to get pigs and
No, but mine will be for the way the world works. I'm going to eat him. Paul's cutting off his nuts for no reason. I mean, Fred, that just because. That's not the same thing.
It's a better quality of life for them, too.
How do you know?
It is.
Maybe it is for you, too. Let me do it.
But why do they... All dogs and cats, they...
So they don't reproduce. Haven't you ever seen Bob Barker?
It also affects their temperament so that they're not all on edge all the time.
It does affect their temperament and also...
So should we castrate all men because we spend half our time thinking
you
about
boobs?
You know
what? Boobs? It wouldn't be a bad idea for some of the men.
Well,
that's basically what you're saying.
How about the BU hockey team? We'll start with them.
Wow.
I like it.
Shot across the back.
I like it.
But in all
Shot
seriousness,
the old alma mater.
It's the same thing. There's plenty of men that spend their entire lives, Tiger Woods, thinking about banging women, and it hurts them and the people around them. Just like a dog humping your leg. Oh,
right.
He has a better life. Right. Well, tell that to the dog, then you should do the same thing to the person.
I'm all for it.
You'd be one of them.
I'm all for it.
You'd be one of them.
Will I?
Women, what was it? Women really help the office place. They're like flowers. They look pretty or something. However you said it.
Good for morale.
Need more
I think
women
was the,
around you. They're good for morale.
Good for morale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there are some procedures that men do go through. I mean, they don't get them completely lopped off.
Right.
No, but that just makes you shoot blanks. I don't think that's the same thing as taking them off. Because when you
close
just,
enough.
No, because it doesn't keep men from like wanting women.
The,
it just you shoot blanks.
Veterinarian told us with our dog that it was also cancer concerns. That if you castrate them, they have less likely of a chance of developing cancer.
Well, obviously,
that was
they
one
have
of
less
the...
of an area. They take away an area where they could get cancer. Same thing with you. You have testicles. If I take your testicles off, you're not going to get testicular cancer.
No, but cancer in general.
By the way, I made an assumption there that may or may not be accurate.
Oh, see now. No, I think you're overdoing it, Andy. But I understand.
Yeah, tell that to
what
the
else
alpaca.
Is new?
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
Andy? Really?
Yeah.
I think the alpaca would be on my side when you go after him with a knife.
Probably.
Okay.
But they don't.
He won't be alpacan anymore.
Right. But they're dumb animals, and they don't know what's good for them.
Ah.
Much like you.
Oh.
So,
if you're not going to treat your alpacas with respect, I don't think you should have alpacas.
You know that I would take
Is
care of my animals.
Is it alpaca or paca?
Alpaca.
Paca.
Yeah.
Going to end up in the koi pond.
No, he's good. I'm going to end up buying him. I know exactly how this works. I'm going to end up buying him for like $15 a piece because he's going to. I'll tell you the whole damn thing for $100.
Well, you have all the land. Why don't you have some?
Well, I want to get animals.
You should get some alpacas.
No,
going off the grid.
No.
He's growing his own animals.
He's the strangest
guy. I just told you I want something useful. And I'm not going to make my own clothes, so they're not useful.
So you want to like
something
have,
I can eat that
you
produces
have
food.
A farm.
Yes, I'd like to get a cow, some pigs, some chickens.
He's one of those.
And they go off the grid.
Just yes,
be completely self-sufficient.
I would like you to go
yes.
off the grid too.
You're going to be that weird guy that lives over there that
I
never
would,
comes out.
That guy who lives over there.
Have you seen that TV show? What is it like? Apocalypse Trainers or something? There's like these people who are
Apocalypse.
Yes. No. It's Doomsday Trainers.
Doomsday Preppers. That's
preppers,
what it. Doomsday that's Preppers.
Well, now
that's what Andy's turning into.
At BJ's, they now sell these emergency kit things with a month's supply of food. It's like this big, and it's got all your water, food, and everything you need. For a few $100 or whatever it is.
What a ripoff.
And it's all for these people that think, you know, we're going to have nuclear war, we're going
to
have
It's
tragedy.
Not a bad thing to have.
Why?
Even if you don't think that the apocalypse is coming, you never know when there's going to be an emergency.
For a month?
Well, look at who knows?
You can help your neighbors.
No, please.
The people
if it's that big of an emergency, I'm going to have a shotgun and keeping my neighbors away. It's survival of the fittest at that point.
The people in Japan didn't expect the
Look, I was without electricity for 5 days this winter.
Wait a minute. Well, all right.
You were fine.
In October.
Now,
no, I wasn't fine.
There's an example.
You were coming to work.
My wife went to New Hampshire, you know, with the kid.
I love when he calls him the kid.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't fine.
Poor
it
Connor.
Was fine. It wasn't death. These
no.
are designed like
you
I
had
can't
food,
leave my house.
Right?
That's what
you
these
have,
are.
You have food in your house at all times, I would assume.
No, but
these are
not,
taking
not
advantage
all,
of fear.
All the refrigerator food went bad.
But you have means to
You
to
were
have,
coming
to
work.
Eat.
You could buy food.
Oh, I could survive, but you know, you never know what could happen. What if there was a... They say that this area is due an earthquake.
Okay. Well, then your little kit is gone in the earthquake.
Right, it fell in
Just
the crack
like,
in the
no,
plant.
No, to use Eric's example, Your little the tsunami wasn't going to be not, you know, wasn't going to protect.
It's not a right. bad
your
idea.
Kid, when that 100-foot wall of water hits me, it's going to wash away the food you have in the pantry.
It might be, so you don't have any need for no.
it's
that.
It's preying on people's fears to make exactly. money. Is all it is.
I think it's worth a couple $100.
Well, you're a bit of a psycho.
You know, just yeah. to have it, you
know. I know Andy and I are suddenly turning into Felger and Maz. Yes, Andy. But I agree with him. You're right, Andy.
Lance from Indy says, first, I'd like to start with saying, let's get Carlos Rogers. That guy is underrated and could become a valuable asset for years to come. Second, what do you think our chances are of getting Michael Floyd? And third, I agree we need Mario Williams with him on the edge and Vince through the middle. It would be huge.
Oh, that was something else I wanted to say. The defensive tackle need, I'm not sure it's a huge draft need. I think it's more of a veteran free agent need. I think you need to find your next crew of Gerard Warrens and these, you know, seventh, eighth, ninth year guys who have experience, have started. Because
that is a need, but not a great one.
But I mean, if you think Kyle Love and Brandon Derrick are pretty good, you have some young guys to play. You need a veteran kind of presence.
You need Gerard Warren like he was 3-4 years ago.
Yeah, or whoever. I mean, I feel like you can always find defensive linemen.
Well, that's how I feel, and I think they have them. I just think that they probably need someone a little bit better because you're going to go into with Vincent and Love.
Right.
And I think Love is okay. I don't listen. Can you do better? Yeah. But would you draft someone in the first round to replace Kyle Love?
No,
I wouldn't.
That's my point. I can go sign a guy to a 3-year, you know, $6 million deal who has started probably 95 games in this league who I'm not even thinking of right now. Some Jag.
Yeah. Or maybe you don't agree with this based on how you sound, but if it's as deep at defensive tackle as people are saying, you know, in the third round, maybe I pick, you know, whatever round you have in the middle. It doesn't have to be a seventh rounder right. like you have in an undrafted free agent. It can right. be a guy that is rated a little bit higher than that, and maybe you can get later than you thought because it's deep at defensive tackle.
I'd rather have a known commodity. We've tried that route. Like, we have Ron Brace. He's supposed to be an early round pick.
You mean like a younger Gerard Warren?
Yeah, just one of those guys. One of those. As I said, he's probably started like 90 games in the league. I just don't know who I'm talking about.
But why not hit on a Ron Brace? Well, I mean, listen, that's an evaluation miss.
Because I don't think the need is that great. I think Will Fork. I think you have Love.
But I'm saying
you have Dedrick and Pryor who can play a little bit. I think if you add in a veteran.
Defensive tackle specifically?
Give me a name, Eric.
Ron Brace was kind of like a Jermaine Cunningham pick.
A bust? Yes, that's right.
No, they looked at BC and they said, you know, BJ Raji's good, but, you know, this Brace guy.
Tommy Harris?
Sure, a veteran. I don't think he's a good guy, but just a veteran.
Chris Hoke? No, that's not who I was thinking of.
Is he from Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
How are you not thinking of a
guy? I was thinking of Chris Hovan.
Oh.
Confusing him with him.
I would take Chris Hoke. But
Jimmy
know.
Kennedy?
Sure. Is he the last one we need?
Yeah.
From that draft class?
That would round it out. Every single guy drafted in 2001 in the first round, every defensive lineman.
So book it, Dano.
Plus, didn't we like Jimmy Kennedy?
I think so. Mm.
Not necessarily us, but Bill actually used him as an example of a two-gap guy at Penn State.
I believe so, yeah. So Jimmy Kennedy, right? Jimmy Kennedy.
Sean Rogers?
That's the irony of the whole thing.
Sure, Sean Rogers.
Done.
Okay, you're done, Eric.
Okay.
And last thing that Lance says, I've been saying this all year, I think Ocho can be an asset for
our team. I'm with you, Lance.
He will have the complete offseason to work with Brady. I do agree partially about people saying he's lost a step. I think that the year in 2010 with T.O. hurt his morale and knocked his confidence level way down. And P.S. Ryan Braun is a douchebag, or what? What are your guys' thoughts?
Yeah, douchebag.
Are people not liking him now, Ryan Braun?
He came out so adamant and strongly.
I just think he got off on technicality. Right. He should have kept his mouth shut.
And he's pretending the truth is with him. I believe he said a number of times, the truth is on my side, whatever. No, it isn't. You cheated. The truth is you cheated.
I mean, I was away, so I didn't hear all of the details, but it certainly seems to me.
I was away. You were in Indianapolis. You weren't on the moon.
But I didn't see
you had no
like,
access
Africa.
To information.
No, obviously we
and
knew.
And I know the same way. When I come back from the combine, I missed a week.
You can't even explain
no,
yourself.
No, you can't, no.
But you weren't at the bottom of the ocean on a sub with no internet
and
access.
And that's why I know what the story is, but I didn't see his specific comments.
He's a douche.
And how he came out
in
and
fact,
said, you know.
We even talked about him, remember? Because I said he reminds me of Nico Koudavides.
I broke the news, if you recall.
That's right.
You're really obsessed with Nico Koudavides a little bit, huh?
No.
Smooth or whatever.
But
you call
I just felt like he
was. Nico Suave.
It seemed pretty clear
to me. It's
a play
on words with Rico Suave.
I know. I have the CD or the tape, Rico Suave.
Really?
Yeah.
The tape? The cassette?
Gerardo, Mo Ritmo.
Boy, is that's an indictment Rico. And a half. Brooklyn Man on line two. What a terrible, terrible song.
I liked it.
Do you ever go salsa dancing?
No, I don't dance.
Would you?
No.
No, I don't dance.
You don't dance?
The only dancing I ever did was in my Afro-Brazilian
so
class.
So, like, if you were at a wedding with your wife and
I dance.
Yeah, so you do dance.
His wife actually danced with me at the last wedding we were at.
Oh, is that right?
I give her, like, two or three. That's all I get.
Wow.
That's all I get.
But you just
it wasn't a shot. Stuff? That's the truth.
In.
No, she grabbed me.
Comfortable dancing with the gay guy.
I knew he was going to do that.
I was going to go with the guy, like, in the Romans. They would cut it off. What do they call those guys? The eunuchs. Yeah.
What did they cut off? His penis?
Yeah. And then,
why are you obsessed with cutting off penises and balls today?
I don't know. He just keeps doing the Todd Collins.
It's the theme of the day. The eunuchs.
And what about the eunuchs?
They would allow them to hang around the princess or whatever.
Because they were.
Because they never had any.
They didn't have. Right.
So does all your sexual desire come from your testicles?
Comes from testosterone. Yeah.
A lot of it.
So if you cut it off, you're just no interest?
Well, you wouldn't. You wouldn't produce the...
Yeah,
none of the hormones come from anywhere else?
You'd be less of a man.
Obviously, you...
Is that what you were looking for? I was trying to get something along those lines.
So you wouldn't see a woman and, like, you'd just be asexual,
you would, but
blasé, just kind of...
You want to make $5 the hard
I'm being
way.
Serious.
You wouldn't be willing to get out of your Barca lounger.
You wouldn't be in heat, though, because you wouldn't have anything
well,
that
I don't know that I've ever been in heat.
Oh, I'm sure you're always.
I don't think you've ever not been in heat.
Are you serious?
No, but my point is,
with your socks,
he's like a dog. No, but these eunuchs, was it torture to them? Like now they're surrounded by all these hot women that they can't do anything with.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or did they not care? Because
I think the torture part came when they cut it off.
Yeah, I don't want to speak with for the eunuch, but you know,
Eric, do you? No, he's the opposite. He's the what is that? Hermaphrodite.
Freddie, I've never seen you dance.
No,
either,
Andy.
Come to think of it. You don't dance either, do you?
I try to stay away from dancing, yeah.
Why?
For probably the same reason you do.
If you could have a skill.
I don't like it. You seem like you're embarrassed by it.
I love it. I just don't have the ability to do it.
I'm not a good dancer.
I was never a good dancer. I used to dance a lot, but I was never a good dancer.
Oh, you were a good dancer.
At Narcyphilis?
But what would you, what skill would you have that you don't have that you would, you know, like Eric and Andy
when they do the thing in BFW.
And all the players always talk, you know, I wish I could sing or something.
Yeah.
What ability would you have you don't?
I think being really good at an instrument, you know, like piano or guitar.
Mine would be guitar.
Speaking a second language. I think that.
Guitar. You might want to master the first.
He just has a conversation with himself. Right. You know?
It's that head.
And then there's like someone else.
There's
that
enough room for
it.
Or it's like I said yesterday, he had an inner dialogue with himself.
Right. I would go with guitar because it seems like everybody who knows how to play the guitar bangs endless women nonstop.
Well, but there's also something to be said
guys
like
that can dance.
You know,
too.
You just sit down at a piano.
No, because everybody
just
assumes they're gay.
Oh, no.
No.
Yes. No.
Justin Timberlake?
Is a musician.
That
if
guy
just danced,
who can dance.
They would call him Mayer. He just dance.
Who's Mayer?
John Mayer.
That guy's prolific.
Right, he's
because of the guitar, not because he can dance.
You're making my point.
I'm talking about with women.
Right, because of the guitar.
He's making my point for me, and he doesn't know it. He has been with every.
Yeah,
right.
Yes, but so have all those guys that can dance.
No,
like Usher.
No.
No.
Yes.
Name a dancer, not a singer who also dances. A dancer.
I'm talking about the ability to dance.
Who knows? All just right. Guys who dance.
Derek Huff has been through them all.
I don't know who Derek.
The guy who wins Dancing with the Stars every year. He's been with every.
Oh, Kevin. The instructor, you mean?
Gay.
The guy from Dancing with the Stars?
Gay.
Derek Huff?
I've never watched Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah,
is he related to Julianne Huff?
Yeah, they're brother and sister.
I can honestly say.
And I think they're twins.
I know her. She's hot.
She's smoking.
Which, does that mean I'm attracted to him too?
But, you know, right.
Probably, Andy. Yes, that's what it probably means.
Right off the bat, you know, playing an instrument, speaking a second language. In my dreams, I've dunked basketballs.
You are such a loser.
You know. But those are some of the things. What about you guys?
I've never actually even thought about it.
Eric has everything. He's
no, that's
have,
not right.
I have
that's
so many shortcomings. I don't know if I could pick one. Just athleticism in general.
Would height be a
the
talent?
The ability to run.
Oh, I would take
would
height.
Would height be a talent?
I would take height.
Size.
I would
strength,
change. I would change
speed.
My body type. Yeah.
But that's not a talent. We're talking like a talent.
No, a talent. Running fast.
Yeah.
That's a talent.
But being tall, that's not a talent.
Okay. My talent that I've always wanted was to produce radio.
You're such a loser.
We would like
you've
that
come
too.
Up so short.
Definitely dancing would be on my list too.
Really? Really? Dancing. Huh. See, that's singing, I could care less if I could
singing
dance.
Singing and dancing?
Yeah. I could care
plus,
less.
Plus, yeah, guitar, yeah. Like, you're sitting
that's
or,
not
anything.
A bad one, Paul.
You
that's
get chicks, but you can also, like, go to a kid's school and just play, like,
right, you
anytime.
Can, you
pop out the guitar.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
And then, holiday party comes out.
Then John Belushi comes over and picks it up and smashes it. Right. And goes, sorry. I have no desire whatsoever to play the guitar.
No.
But I understand why people would want. I get that.
What about the tuba?
About the flute.
We know what's coming next.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
We'll just say it.
Yeah, just say it.
Nothing.
Lord.
I was just wondering about the flute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jay from New York says, you guys are
like
a great relief from New York sports radio.
I was just watching a commercial.
We're actually a great relief from all sports radio because we don't talk sports very often.
Mike Tannenbaum has been all over the air on some sort of PR tour. Some of his quotes are priceless. For example, telling Michael Kay on ESPN, quote, knowing we were 8-8 and seeing that a 9-7 team won the Super Bowl tells us that we aren't that far away.
Especially since that team was 9-7 because they beat you and you were 8-8 because they beat you.
Wait, can I just ask a question? Is that one of the ridiculous quotes?
I just think it is a ridiculous quote.
Okay.
Well, there you have it. I guess Oakland is right there too then. Then he says, if we learn from our experiences...
Oakland is a borderline playoff team. I would absolutely agree with that.
If we learn from our experiences, then 2011 should prove to be a special year. Should we tell him it's 2012? He also continues to point out, almost on a loop, that Rex Ryan was one game from the Super Bowl 3 years in a row, like Tannenbaum can somehow claim credit for Rex's loss in the AFC in his last year in Baltimore. The hits keep coming with this guy, who I also understand was the catalyst behind Spygate. Anyway, that's the report from behind enemy lines.
Yeah, I don't like Tannenbaum at all.
I hate Tannenbaum.
I just don't have
any problem with those quotes.
As much as we, you know, like to make up stuff about the Jets and how bad, they're in a tough spot because all, you know, not only.
Because their locker room fell apart.
I know,
but you're absolutely right.
But not only did that happen, and not only did they live up to expectations. But Ryan also called out the Giants in a game. They lost that game,
right.
And then that team ended up winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So now you are like in this city that is so competitive, and you got all this stuff against you, you know?
And they've always been second fiddle.
It's all about
the Jets have always been
me.
Second fiddle in that
right,
city.
Right.
I think they're in a lot of trouble because their team.
Well, yeah, that's
is in
the major issue.
Major
right.
turmoil.
It gets worse when you say all this stupid stuff before you play the Giants about we're going to take over the town
right.
and all that crap,
yeah. And then you lose,
right?
And they win the Super Bowl.
Right. If you were just quiet,
it just embarrasses
it wouldn't be as big
you more. That's all.
Well,
I don't think it makes your job of getting back on top any hotter.
No, but no. I'm not even talking about the field too.
For Ryan, it does because I think it expedites your exit out of town.
It makes the job harder for their marketing department.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh, I mean, yeah, sure. I'm talking about football, but you're right about that.
The person who bought us lunch is on the line, Anthony in Naples. Hey, Anthony.
Right to the front of the line. How nice.
Thank you.
We shot you right to the top.
What's going on, guys?
Well, we enjoyed a great lunch with tremendous
cookies.
If you're ever up this way, I tell you, you have to go to Grande and order the cranberry white chocolate chip cookies.
But are they on the menu? I don't think they're on the menu.
I don't know, but you got to get them because they're warm and soft and sweet.
And tell them PFW sent you.
Tell them PFW sent you.
I'm being serious.
I think we need to castrate them just because of the cookies.
Well, they are literally one of the best things you can eat. I mean, they're tremendous.
He's putting the white in the white chocolate.
Plus, they're healthy.
Oh.
Yeah, well, I have to tell you, Andy, that's why I called up. I just wanted to say you're welcome because you thanked me personally for the cookies. But I have to say, all I did was give my credit card number. You know, I had nothing to do with the baking.
Well, if you want to give it again another time, maybe next week or the week after, that'd be fine, too.
Well, just give it to Andy. He'll take care of it.
I'll thank you again.
Yeah.
I hear the weather's nice down there. The pool business must be picking up.
Well, it's always steady for me, which is nice. It's year-round.
Oh, good. So you don't have any fluctuations due to the economy, so you can afford lunch pretty much on a regular monthly basis.
Well, you know, I like to keep my money and spend it on myself.
No, you don't. It's because of that woman and that fiance. She's ruined. I haven't gotten a damn Christmas gift from you since you got engaged.
Anthony, do you have, as the pool guy, do you get offers
from Eric?
Occasionally... Nothing that, you know, really flattering, to be honest with you.
Nothing flattering.
So meaning only fat, ugly
women?
Fat,
ugly, older women?
Well, yeah, older women. Like, it's Marco Island, so it's pretty much like a retirement community.
Oh!
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. You know, honestly, when I see a 55-year-old, I'm like, holy cow, you're young.
You know? Wow.
That's pretty much it.
I'm swollen.
Oh, Christy Brinkley's in her 50s. She's doing all right, no? Not those kind, though, hanging around?
You get those drooping
meat
curtains.
Hey, Eric, I'm curious.
What's up?
You said you wanted to change the shortcomings. You said you wanted to change the body type. Are you too muscular? You're too big?
He still can't let that one go, can he? He still can't let that one go.
You never answered it. What do you want to switch it to?
Taller.
Taller.
6 feet.
Taller, smaller nose, more hair.
Yeah.
Spot on. I thought you were scaring off all the women with the
Yeah, but I'm with Fred. I was talking more about a talent or some kind of skill.
I know, but that's
definitely instrument. You definitely get laid all the time if you like play an instrument.
Well, I agree with that.
I got a buddy of mine. He's not the most dapper fellow, but he can play the guitar, and for some reason, you know, the chicks dig that.
Yeah, that's all in guitar.
Yeah.
Is it that hard?
And it's portable.
It's hard, yes.
I never had to worry about it, so I guess I didn't need to play the guitar.
He's such an a-hole.
I wanted to get into the offensive discussion. Since you guys aren't talking defense, it seems like the whole show is just all about wide receivers.
We've already settled. We're getting Mario Williams, and that's it.
With Mario Williams and Whitney Merciless and whoever else we were getting, we're going to be fine.
Harrison Smith. We've talked a lot of defense today, Anthony.
But receivers sell.
The thing is, you guys are like, oh, we're good at defensive tackle. You know, who are we going to get better than Kyle Love? That's my whole point.
Whoa.
I said I want a nice veteran presence at defensive tackle.
Yeah, I said I don't want to use a first-round pick on a defensive tackle. I didn't say who are we going to get better than Kyle Love.
You want Poe because he can run a 4.8 40.
Well, let me ask you this. If you get Williams on the outside, right, and whoever it is on the other side doesn't even matter, but if you get a top-flight first-rounder defensive tackle right next to Wolfert, you don't think that would make a big difference?
If you already had Williams? If you went out and got Williams as a free agent? Yeah.
You get Williams.
But yes. Wait a minute. Would you rather have Williams, Wilfork, Merciless, and a veteran defensive tackle, or would you rather have a great defensive tackle, first-round pick with Williams,
Fletcher,
Wilfork, and some jag outside? I'd rather have Whitney, Merciless.
Well, I think the other guy on the other side, it would be nice if it was either you bring Carter in or you draft that guy in the second or third round. You know what I mean? Like a true passing like specialist, you know, pass rushing specialist.
But I just don't think those guys are that easy to find, even though they kind of found two this year in Carter and Mark Anderson. I think if you want a good one of those, you have to draft him. Maybe I'm underrating defensive tackles, but I kind of look at it like guard. There's a bunch of them out there that I don't really know that can come in and start and be fine next to Wilfork.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they might be a little different, especially when you're getting gashed against the running game.
I shouldn't be getting gashed when I have a Pro Bowl All-Pro nose tackle next to him.
Yeah,
and I didn't know I had to support him all the time.
And two supposed stud inside linebackers.
But how many times have we seen Wolford get beat one-on-one? Not beat, but just like he's taken out sometimes on one-on-one.
Yeah,
it's not like he demands double teams.
No, I know, but I pay him to be great. But if he's not that great, that's the bad contract. I overvalued him.
And Anthony, if you're telling me they're going to go out and sign Mario Williams before the draft in free agency, now I'm not necessarily saying we have to get Whitney Merciless too. I kind of agree with Andy. I would like them both.
Right.
But, I mean, I understand what you're saying. If you go out and you strengthen one area in free agency with a guy that you think is the man, sure. I'm just saying right now, based on what they have, I think defensive tackle falls behind edge guy, behind cornerback, behind safety in the list of priorities for the team right now.
I put it behind receiver. I think I have developmental young guys there.
Here's another reason why I kind of look at that spot is because I've said it before. I haven't hit away from it, but I just think Wolfork is not worth the money that they paid him.
Me too.
He's getting older. He's getting older, so I feel like maybe you can get a little bit more out of him if you put another guy, another stud next to him, and hopefully it'll help out both.
There's no doubt you're
argument
right
for that.
That's your first really strong argument.
You're absolutely right there, but you have to take that and put it up against the other needs. That's the thing.
Yeah, I know. I just feel like at that 27th spot, it's going to be easier to get a defensive tackle, and then it would be nice. I would love to sit here and say, you know, Mario Williams without any doubt. It would be freaking awesome. It won't be like Peppers. You know, it would be like 90% of Peppers, but it'd be pretty darn close.
Oh, I think he's pretty good, and I think there's a little more consistency there. I don't think he has the questions about his motor and drive like Peppers had.
you know, coming here when they were talking about taking plays off.
None that I've heard of.
I mean,
none
he's aware of. Kind of the perfect prospect.
Yeah, I don't think he's as good as Peppers, but I don't think you have those questions
right.
that you have with Peppers.
So you probably get a more consistent player.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I'm willing to sacrifice. Welker. Yeah, to get a Peppers. You know,
me too.
Not a Peppers, to get Mario Williams.
I think we all agree with
that. We all agree.
That's why I wanted to sacrifice Wilfork for Peppers.
Yeah, I think people are too emotionally attached to Welker. Welker's a nice player, don't get me wrong. He's done a lot.
Nice little player.
He's a nice little player. But, like, I agree with Paul. I think there'll be another guy that catches those passes. Brady will find that guy. And I look at Edelman, maybe if he gets a whole training camp with Brady, he could probably fit in just as well. Wow. Is he going to be as good as Welker? I don't know, but I don't mind giving that up.
Really? Breaking up there, Anthony.
He's not going to be as good as Welker.
Okay. Thanks for the call. And
no one
much.
In the history of the NFL has been as good as Welker at his job.
That's the thing.
But what I don't like, and I agree with that, Edelman's not going to catch 125 passes. I agree. But my problem is why we have so become fixated on the offense has to have Wes Welker catching 125 passes to be successful. Why can't it have some other guy catch 80 passes and be just as successful because somebody else maybe catches 10 more than they did last year and someone else catches 10 more than they did last year.
You just have to figure out who that's going to be. That's
and people
all.
Are scared to death of the change because every time they bring in a new receiver, he sucks.
No, but you just hit it on it, Andy. Change. They're scared to death of change.
But
I know Welker can do this. Well, you know what? The offense was very productive before Welker got here, and it'll be very productive after he leaves. Because Tom Brady, I say this all the time and I always get mocked, he's going to complete within a handful, the same amount of passes every year, regardless of who catches them.
But the offense as good before Welker and Moss got here. They didn't put up as many points. They didn't put up as many yards. They were not as good.
It's a different animal. They didn't have to be.
They weren't as good, though.
But they play. See, I think they were. They weren't as high scoring, but they were every bit as effective in my mind. And the reason for that is the defense, they got to a point earlier in games where the games were over.
Right, but you don't know if they were as good. They didn't have to be as good.
I think they were. I just think it was a different in 2004, that offense could do anything you wanted it to do. And they didn't have Welker. They didn't have Moss. Brady didn't throw for 5,000 yards.
Rusher.
Right.
Yeah, I understand that.
It was different.
It was different. It was just different.
It was different.
A lot different. But I think a big part of it
was... But it was as good. It was just different.
I'm not
That's
sure
my point.
It was
well,
good.
If they had a 1,600-yard rusher, then maybe people wouldn't be so worried about getting rid of Welker.
But I don't think that's the issue. The issue is... They haven't been able to develop or bring in receivers, and to say we're going to throw away 500 catches.
Wait a minute.
You can replace
it. But I don't want to just throw him away. I want to make every effort I can to keep him. I argue with you about this. I don't want to get rid of Welker.
I'm just saying, if you say, okay, I want Mario Williams, it's going to cost me Welker. I can't invest there.
Well, that's
fill
different.
Out a team. Okay, are you
that's
willing
different.
To do that? And
yes,
there's
I would
a fear,
be willing.
I would too, but there's a fear there. You can't fix it. You can't make up those catches because now it's just Hernandez and Gronkowski can't possibly be better than he was last year in all likelihood. And until you prove to me you can bring in a receiver who can be productive and have a good impact,
there is a fear, and
but
I think
there's a fear there.
I think
it's
warranted.
It's founded. But, yes, it's founded in history.
But right. The other part that no one takes into consideration is these guys have had a hard time cracking in while Welker's been here. Brady will have no choice but to try to incorporate someone else if he can't throw the ball 125 times to the same slot guy.
And, right. But Andy's point is before Moss and Welker came, there was no guy that Brady
And I would argue
had,
that they were better.
Had those, well.
Not 07.
Not
I wouldn't argue better than 07.
Yeah, I don't
that
know
was,
if the offense.
That was legendarily historic.
I don't know in terms of pure production if the offense has ever been better since these last 4 years.
Well, in 07, it was much better than any
That's
of the
That's what I'm saying. 07, 08, since 07.
Yeah, I don't agree. But in 07, to me, it was that 04 was better than the last 2 years, to me.
In pure production?
Absolutely. No, well, points? No.
Well, that's what I mean. Pure production.
But I think they could
have
scored any amount of points they wanted to.
I
but
don't
when
know.
You're
never
up by,
know.
But you're, when you're up by 30 in the third quarter, you throttle it down.
No, you don't. Not on this team.
Well, that's what they used to do when they won titles. I'm sorry.
I'm not sure they were up 30 in the
third
quarter a lot.
They never were, Paul.
Go back and look at the scores in 2004.
Give me a media
show
guide.
Show me how many one-score wins
Sooner
they
later,
had.
Sooner or later, somebody's going to challenge Paul and these damn things.
Grab the media guide, Kevin.
But it wasn't like they ripped off early
leads. I used to give the nod in the first quarter routinely.
Right, because of the defense.
Exactly! So they could throttle it down once they got a two-score lead.
I know, but Paul, it's not...
He's arguing like Fred.
In terms of pure production...
Now a two-score lead is 30 points?
In terms of pure production, I think Brady hit his stride once he got really good receivers.
31-17, 23-12, 24-10, 30-20... 40-22, 29-6, 27-19. Wow, am I blind? 24-3, 42-15, 23-7, and they had, here's the close games, 27-24, 13-7.
Right,
and
22% of those were defensive scores.
Okay.
You know, so you have to factor that in.
So, as always, when I'm not talking out of my ass and I actually get facts to back it up, we just change the argument.
I actually didn't hear any of the 30-point leads.
I just rattled off.
We were all there, Paul.
There was 10 games that were
30-point leads? I didn't hear 42-15. I heard like three blowouts.
I mean, Paul, we were all there. The offense wasn't from a
they
pure
did
production.
Not, they did not score 500 points, in my opinion, because they never had to.
And that might be true.
They've had to.
You're being a Patriots fan. You're winning every game you never played. I don't know that you would have won it.
They did win it. No, they won 17 of them.
You're assuming they were scoring points. They never scored.
No. How many points did they score?
You just said, I think they could have scored as many as they want. I don't know
I think that offense was better than every offense they've had since, except for 2007.
Yeah. I think it was good because that was one of the best teams ever.
I mean, we were there in the thick of it, and no one was talking about this prolific offense back then. Wouldn't they have been?
I don't know. Maybe Paul wasn't.
They scored more points in 2004 than they did in 2008 and 2009.
Well, 2008 was Matt Cassel.
Yeah, right.
They scored fewer than they did in 10.
And 11.
I mean, Paul,
I don't know
what
they scored in 11.
I mean, do you ever remember anyone up until
more this year than last year?
I mean, up until 07,
so.
Do we ever remember anyone saying that, you know, this was a prolific
offense? Had more than 510 points this year?
Pretty sure.
All right, well, then they didn't score as many as they did this year and last year. They scored more than they did in 08 and 09.
Well, I don't include 08 because it was Matt Cassel.
Well, they scored more than they did in 09. Whatever your stipulations are that you want to keep changing, they scored
I'm
more.
I'm not changing anything, actually. I've kept it the exact same. I'm not assuming they scored points they never scored.
437. That's what they scored.
And you said that was the most prolific offense.
I didn't say it was the most prolific offense.
But you
offense.
Said they would have scored all these points because they had 30-point leads in the third quarter. I missed all the 30-point leads.
I'll go back. I said that offense, to me, was just as good as every offense they've had since, except for 07, even though they didn't score as many points.
I didn't say they were more productive.
I didn't say they were more prolific.
I think they could have scored as many points as they wanted to.
I feel like they could have done whatever they wanted to.
But we can't prove that. That's not fact. And I feel like this year's Patriots could have scored more points.
But I went with
to.
The fact that they scored more than they did in 09, an offense that you guys say is better.
1 year. That's 1 year. It's a 1-to-1 comparison.
Right.
Right? 7,
so
10, and 11.
What is the point?
That's 3-to-1.
So
what proves the point, the 1 or the 3?
So the only thing that can prove a point is the flat-out stat.
I don't know. You're pointing to the stats to prove your point.
Do you think the offense
was better? Mister, I'm changing the argument all the time.
Do you think the offense was better in 2010 and 11 than it was in 04?
Yes.
I don't.
Okay.
So what's wrong with that?
But if you're going to use the numbers to prove your point, it scored more points than it did
I felt like they were in a lot of lopsided games, which you don't.
30-point victor. 30-point leads in the third quarter.
All right, Andy. All right. I rattled off all the scores of the games.
And I missed all the 30-point
ones. And they had 3 games out of 14 that were one-score games.
So
that's 11 times.
Well, I don't think that's true either. Didn't you say 28-17 or something?
It's actually past
that's
two.
A two-score
I have
game.
A meeting.
That's
I have
a,
to
that's
go.
A two-score game.
You guys okay, that's a two-score game!
Listen, you can yell and make an ass of yourself all you want.
I think you've done a fine job of making an ass of yourself.
But all I did, anyone who disagrees with
Paul Perillo's opinion, you can't do it.
Listen, you can make it. You can make that out to be all.
Thank you.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.